Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
A couple of viral videos showing NBA players calmly and articulately explaining why they don't want to get the vaccine has a bunch of journalists and Democratic activists and politicians outraged. We're hearing from some other celebrities that they should be kicked off their teams, they should be barred from playing, but there is no mandate, apparently, in the NBA. Now, I don't think we're going to see National Guard being deployed to replace NBA players who are being fired. But over in North Carolina, we have the largest mass termination of hospital workers due to refusal to get the vaccine. 175 plus workers in a North Carolina hospital. And I just don't understand. Why are medical workers such anti-vaxxers? Why are they saying now that there's a massive portion of New York medical workers who have been fired over this vax mandate? These are people who literally work in the hospitals. Don't you think they would be the least likely to oppose getting the vaccine? Perhaps. It's just about freedom. They're like, you know, we don't believe that you should be able to mandate medical treatments, or perhaps as medical experts, they have a different expert opinion, one that doesn't align with the mainstream. Well, we're going to talk about this. We're also going to talk about a lot of what's going on down at the border, because we have one of the weirdest stories I've seen. Texas Border Patrol uncovers a safe house with like 100 illegal immigrants, and the subheader says from Fox News, and they weren't wearing PPE, because that's what we're worried about. Because the Border Patrol agents come to a house, and there's 100 people jammed inside of it, and they're like, they're not wearing COVID protective gear. Yeah, okay, we got problems. So we are being joined by a couple of journalists who are down at the border recently, actually, with some evidence of what's going on there. It's crazy stuff. Do you guys want to introduce yourself, Jorge, first?
Yeah, I'm Jorge Ventura, field reporter for the Daily Caller.
Sagnik Basu, I'm a producer for the Daily Caller.
You guys were down there on the ground watching what was going on.
Yeah, we've been covering the border crisis as soon as it began. We were also covering the Haitian migrants in the Rio, and just basically just seeing this kind of whole thing just unfold little by little. And it's been crazy documenting.
You actually brought us a bag of the bracelets that the smugglers, the human traffickers, make people wear. Like, what? We'll get into all this, but you want to hold one up just so people can see what it is. For those that are listening, you can't see anything, but those on YouTube, you can see. They make the smugglers make people wear these bracelets.
Bunch of them.
So we'll get into that. That's crazy stuff. We got Ian. He's chilling.
Man, seeing that bracelet was like one of the most grounding, kind of like smashed into reality things I've felt in a while. Thanks. That's busted up, man. The trafficking kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a bunch of them because they're really interesting and they say different things. So we will get into them over the course of the show. I'm really looking forward to this because this is something that needs to be discussed
creepy stuff.
For sure.
But before we get started, head over to TimCast.com. Become a member and you will get access to exclusive members-only segments of the TimCast IRL podcast. We're actually, I think this week, we're going to be launching our mystery show, and we have a new show called The Green Room, which is the fun hangout, which we've been filming. So we're producing a lot of stuff. Plus, we have a bunch of other shows that are being produced as we speak. It just takes time. This is like, you know, it's kind of been a shock how fast we've been growing. And so we have all of these pots going at the same time. But we're getting there. So stay tuned for that. But don't forget to like this video, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends. Let's talk about some NBA because this is really pissing off a lot of people. We got the story from the Black Wall Street Times. Access is the new civil right, they say. With no mandate, some NBA players refusing COVID vaccine ahead of season. They say the most popular question that players have been asked has been concerning their vaccination status. Currently, there is no mandate from the league for the players to be vaccinated. League spokesman Mike Bass told ESPN, quote, a vaccine mandate for NBA players would need an agreement with the player association. The NBA has made these proposals, but the players union has rejected any vaccination requirement. Most NBA players are vaccinated, but stragglers remain. Roughly 90% of NBA players are vaccinated as training camp approaches, according to league sources, but tensions are growing between staffers who are vaccinated and players who refuse them. In some instances, staffers said they're upset the players aren't facing the same vaccine requirements as most team staff and referees. In other instances, staffers said they're concerned about the health risks of being exposed to unvaccinated players. Two of the league's biggest stars, Bradley Beal and Kyrie Irving, both said they were not vaccinated during their team's media day. And I just got to say, guys, you need to stop fighting this. Us rich people are exempt from all of this. NBA stars, famous podcast hosts. Yo, you go look at the Met Gala. Just accept your fate. You know, AOC doesn't got to wear a mask. All of the servants do. All right. This is the direction that we're going. I'm kidding, by the way, but this, I'm half kidding. It's true, though. Like, NBA players are like, we're not going to do it. Meanwhile, the support staff are being forced to do it.
Yeah, it's one of the more interesting stories. And, you know, I don't see any National Guard coming in to replace Kyrie Irving that could average 25 points and 8 assists a game. But
cool, though,
it's
right?
really interesting with the NBA because it actually first started off with, you know, for folks who don't know, like, LeBron James has massive power over the league. It's almost like whatever he said kind of sways. And he actually came out and, like, didn't want to get the vaccine. I think he just got vaccinated, but he didn't want to get the vaccine. And that kind of forced the Players Association to say, you know what? No mandate. So it's really interesting to see, and especially the star players speak out. So like a Bradley Beal, a Kyrie Irving, who hold a lot of weight. That's going to be interesting to see. Andrew Wiggins, who is the, shooting guard for the Warriors in Oakland. He applied for the religious exemption and got it denied. So now he could only play away games. I'm really curious just to see how that's going to turn out.
Only away games.
It's interesting the difference between the NFL and the NBA.
Right.
Because, like, in the NBA, you have five guys can win you a championship for the most part. I mean, you do have a bench, but it's five guys. But the NFL, you need 12. Like, so the star power is much greater in the NBA. One individual, like LeBron, can command a team and a league.
Yeah, in the NBA, they need, they need those star players to fill those seats. Like, in NBA, it's just those star players are more rare than the NFL. So it's really interesting to see, like, the Kyries, Bradley Beal, and other players come out and speak out. Yeah, because Bradley Beal just had a media day, and he said, hey, you know what? I already had COVID. I have the antibodies. He said, and then he, like, looked at the media and said, I assume all you guys are vaccinated, yet you could still get it. So it's, like I said, it's interesting right now just with the mandates and all this stuff. And then I'm curious of what's going to happen to Andrew Wiggins, because now the owner might be like, you know what? If you're not going to get vaccinated and I can only use you on the road, I'm going to just release you and just pick up another guy who's willing to,
yeah, but he's got a contract, right? They can't
just
do that.
Yeah. And he's a good player. He's not like he's mm-hmm. like a guy you just kind of, like I said, no National Guard is going to come in for Andrew Wiggins and put some 15 points and 10 boards a game.
You know, there's a lot of protests. There was a video from a couple days ago where people in Staten Island who were unvaccinated, like, stormed into a mall and were chanting USA, mm-hmm. because New York has the vax mandate. But you see little pockets here and there. You can Google it. You can find the stories of a few hundred people. I don't think it's enough to stop government overreach. You know, the government's going to mandate it. People are just going to follow suit.
I agree. I actually thought that, like, the turnouts would be much larger. We haven't seen them now. I covered a few of these anti-mandate protests back in California. And, one thing that I've noticed, at least from the protests that I covered, is the first responder community is really against the mandates. I'm talking about nurses, police officers. Like I said, the story I think to watch out right now is the LA County firefighters who are now going to be suing the county, and they are really stepping up and saying, we're not doing this. So, I think that could be a turning point for a lot of first responders, depending how that firefighter case goes.
I'm not convinced that's going to affect the public the way, you know, Kyrie Irving would. You've got the NBA, yes, and what happens if some owner is like, I'm not gonna, you know, use you for these games because you're refusing to get vaccinated? No, they can't do it. They got star power on their hands. When celebrities like Nicki Minaj come out, all of a sudden their fans don't care about your tribe. They don't care about science. They don't care about whatever your rules are. They're just like, big fan Nicki Minaj, she said it, we're done. And they'll start tweeting in support of her. Love you, Nicki, you're the best. Especially with the NBA stars. Now LeBron, I guess, came out, you know, and was praising China. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
He came out and was saying, you know, that I guess he got vaccinated and he's supportive of it. So that will have a lot of weight. But I gotta say, you know, when I watch some of these viral videos, I feel like regular people are gonna see this. And that, those vocal, people in the NBA or of high status, are going to, for one, probably a lot of people will just blindly agree with them. There's probably a lot of people mm-hmm. who are going to be like, I'm a big fan, dude. Yeah, whatever you say. But there's going to be a lot of people now who will feel less scared. They're going to be like, if they can do it, so can I. I can speak up. I can stand up for myself. And it's really interesting to see there were protests, big protests in New York. I'm surprised to see protests in New York over this. I mean, New York is a Democrat stronghold. But you see New Yorkers holding up signs. I kind of feel like the media is lying about the sentiment on this one. If the bluest place in the country, New York City, I think it's the bluest place, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's San Francisco, I don't know, but a particularly Democrat place, has thousands of protesters certainly regular people are like, yo, the vaccines are great, but you can't force people to take these things, right?
I've had, for the last, I think, week, when I go into Twitter, what's happening? First thing that shows up is Biden's vaccine mandate for workers is supported by legal precedents, experts say. And that same headline and thing is keeps popping up every day, like they're trying to convince me of it. So there, obviously, it kind of supports, I think it supports what you're saying, that I think that the media is forcing the narrative or attempting to.
That is such a manipulative propaganda thing because you can argue that the legislature can put in rules for OSHA, but not Biden by decree. So that's why are we getting our legal analysis from Twitter staff? You know what I mean? But people believe this stuff.
The problem is like when the media does this thing, they are not exactly able to convince like normal schmucks who are watching TV to be like, oh, now the media said it, let's go and get the vaccine. It's more about like private organizations like restaurants and like club owners. They're thinking that, oh, is this the mass sentiment? Now we have to mandate it. I went to Brooklyn literally this Saturday and I had to show my vax card in one club and in order to get into a yacht. So they are mandating it left, right, and center. And I think like the way the private organizations get their information is that they watch media and they think that, oh, this is the sentiment, so we need to follow the laws. And then they just imply with it.
Well, that's
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's big if the NBA stars and celebrities are coming out, and they're speaking out against this.
Yeah, I thought I thought the Nicki Minaj thing was
wild,
huge.
It was a wild news cycle.
It was great. Just wild. That crossover with her and Tucker is exactly what we needed. I wish Trump was I wish Trump had his Twitter because I just wanted to see what he would even say
about
but,
Nicki Minaj.
He would be like Nicki Minaj, one of the greatest rappers of all time. Everyone agrees is standing up for the rights of the working class.
But I was, I love that week because I remember just watching Tucker and he would be like praising Nicki and then he would just bash the whole GOP. He'd be like, why is Nicki braver than any GOP representative?
Then it's true.
You always have like those Republicans like, oh, but she's, you know, pro-abortion. It's like that doesn't matter on right now. Like right now this is an area where you could win over a lot of people when it comes to this. This is body autonomy. Win over people in the
especially like you were saying hip hop community like if Nicki says something hip hop and hip hop is like you know 90% black probably like and they will like roll with it like but you saw people exactly pushing back Nicki. It's like hey she needs to be like shut down now like we don't
It was huge. I think Jay-Z just had a meeting with the new mayor of New York and it was all like oh I'm talking to her of how we could
you mean the governor
yeah the governor and he was like oh I was talking to her about how we could you know get more of our people in our community vaccinated. So it's like it's big when Nicki could come out and step out against that narrative. Ethan, I love that she was speaking about censorship and then she like blasts those journalists and like
Hassan Piker got real by Nicki. Yes. That was the best day ever. Like out of all people.
No, my favorite thing, like the reason why I was so much on the Nicki train is like if you could drive Joy Reid crazy on MSNBC, I am on your team. So I love watching Joy just freak out.
Hassan's response to Nicki was that Tucker was a white nationalist.
Yeah. Correct.
And I'm like, here's a guy who has nothing to say for this conversation. Yeah. Like Hassan is just like, if that's his hot take for this, it has nothing to do with the issues of liberty, freedom, medical, public health. It's just literally like, well, that guy's a white nationalist. Wow. Excellent commentary on the issue, nice, Hassan.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And then we're also seeing with the college universities, it's like even with the mandates, they're still seeing COVID outbreaks. Like Duke University had like an outbreak of like over 300 kids tested positive for COVID, and only 8 of those kids were unvaccinated. Wow. So even you're seeing it in Duke University. You're seeing it in a lot of these universities where like their vaccination rate is like at 99 or 98%. Like I was even reading Harvard just went to like online classes for 3 weeks, and they're like their vaccination rate is like at 97%.
Let me pull this up real quick. CBS News, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar says NBA players who refuse the COVID vaccine should be disciplined.
Oh, boy.
Oh, great.
Disciplined.
Uh-huh.
These people are insane.
Get in line, boy.
They're genuinely nuts.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith, too, on ESPN was coming out and saying, oh, you need to trade Kyrie Irving. It's like that's just the kind of world we're living in. It's like you like step out of that narrative and they attack you. It's like, man, it's not even about, like I said, even the places that we're seeing the most vaccinated rates, there's still outbreaks.
Yeah, this is what's concerning me. If that trend continues, what you're pointing out at like the, in the colleges, and that people keep getting these breakthrough cases after vaccination, then at what point will people say, stop mandating this if it's, if there's still going to be breakouts anyway? Because like they don't mandate flu shots. You know, they, you can get a flu shot and it can help you, but you can still get the flu. So yeah, at what point are people going to?
I have two questions. They're, I'm seeing all over Twitter, they're like, the unvaccinated are a threat to the vaccinated, right? They're like, we got to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated.
Which makes
and
no
a
sense.
And a lot of people on the left are saying, like, you know, if we're going to get through this and everyone has to be vaccinated, otherwise there'll be variants. And I'm like the flu?
Huh.
Like the flu vaccine that nobody gets? Like a lot of people get it, the flu shot every year.
Yeah, the COVID-19 vaccine is the first vaccine in the world that doesn't work unless you have it too.
Well, no. I'm not talking about... I understand the point they're making. There'll be variants, right?
Yeah.
Because it'll you know, fester within certain communities and then eventually can, you know, the vaccine stops working. But we don't even do that for the flu. So what's different right here? Like, no, I get it. I get COVID is worse. I get it's like, you know, it's scary. People can't breathe and stuff like that. But... we're not talking about airborne Ebola. Is it just like because it is novel, all of a sudden we're like, this is the one where everyone's got to get the vaccine or what?
Yeah, I don't know. We're in some interesting times. And then we're also seeing the push for the booster shot. So that like the FDA just recently came out and they didn't approve it for everyone. I think they only approved it for 65 and older. Holy it's also interesting to see how the other countries react. So the president of Mexico came out and said, we are not vaccinating anyone under 12 years old. We're not letting big pharma play a role in this, which I was like, whoa. Wow, and he's a leftist. Yeah. Almo is a leftist. So he came out and spoke out against it. That's what I'm interesting to see is there the Pfizer's making that push to get like five to 12 year olds vaccinated. Which is like we haven't seen any data that they need it.
No risk whatsoever in that age group now.
Well, we won't say no risk, but it is like very, very, very
minimal,
low.
Yeah.
And I guess the issue is they're concerned kids will get it and then transfer it to old people.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, you've got the there's interestingly two main camps in this. Actually, at this point, I don't even think it's anti-vax. I think it's mostly anti-mandate. Mm-hmm. I think most people actually agree. It's fine. Get it. But the weird question is like, why are you making literally everyone get it? It doesn't make sense. Like, why are they forcing everyone to do it? The big thing that they're not telling you, Joe Biden comes out and he said, you know, 98% of people got to be vaccinated to go back to normal. What they're not telling you is that a large portion of those who aren't vaccinated live in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you can see an NBA player and ask them like, why won't you get the vaccine? And they'll say, well, I've had it before. I have the antibodies. The government should mandate this. But what they're not showing you when they say like, you know, a quarter of people haven't gotten it. It's like, yeah, you know, like Jim Bob, who lives up on the mountain,
yeah,
who's got no neighbors mm-hmm. and is a homesteader, is like not going to drive into a city to risk himself during a pandemic just to get a vaccine that would reduce the risk he doesn't have because he lives in the middle of nowhere. They don't take into consideration rural living, homesteaders, farms, people who don't go into cities, and people who are talking to their doctors and for medical reasons aren't getting it. They're just blanket saying, everyone's got to get it. You know, that makes no sense. Why would someone who lives in rural Wyoming be concerned about getting sick when they don't see anybody for 6 months? They're probably like, I'm not even going to see a doctor to give me the vaccine. But they include those people in all these numbers, too.
Yeah, and like in California, you know, L.A. County, which is one of the bigger counties in the United States, L.A. County is so big that, like, it's not just like the city of LA. There's a bunch of rural communities in LA County. So for us, it didn't make sense to see that, you know, they would like shut down all these businesses and it affected even the rural communities, you know, in the middle of nowhere that, like you said, that they're not connected to the city. You know, it's like a one size fit all,
yeah.
Which has just been detrimental. Then, you know, LA County too was the only county out of all of the United States to make the restaurants, close out their indoor and also outdoor dining. They were the only county that did takeout only as well. And it affected the rural communities that are like not even near the city.
So we got this story from The Hill. Sage Steele says she only took vaccine because of ESPN's sick and scary mandate. Huh. Wow. This is interesting. ESPN anchor said she only got it because of the mandate, which she described as sick and scary. During an appearance on Uncut with Jay Cutler, Steele told the former NFL quarterback that she ultimately got the vaccine so she wouldn't be removed from programming. I didn't want to do it, but I work for a company that mandates it and had until September 30th to get it done or I'm out. I respect everyone's decision. I really do. But to mandate it is sick and it's scary to me in many ways. I'm not surprised it got to this point, especially with Disney. I mean, a global company like that, she added. Steele has previously drawn criticism for mocking mask mandates, responding to statistics showing that more children have been shot in Chicago than died of COVID, she wrote. But yes, let's keep masking up our children. I'll tell you this, man. If I still worked for Disney and they mandated this, I'd be like, yay, I break my contract. I am out. I'll tell you, respect for speaking out, because the more higher profile people speak out about freedom, and it's not about the vaccine. I think the vaccine's mm-hmm. fantastic. It's about the government mandating a medical procedure. And I think what you see here is a really good example of how they gain power. Sage is not worried about getting the vaccine. She's not worried about side effects. It's overwhelmingly safe. I think you'll see a lot in the VAERS because of how many people have gotten the vaccine. I mean, you know, and so she's not worried about it, but now the government is inching us towards mandated medical procedures. I get it. A vaccine is not the most extreme of medical procedures. They're not saying they're going to cut out, you know, your appendix or anything like that. But she's right. It's scary. It's sick. Now, the problem I have is that as much as she's willing to speak out against it, she's not willing to resist it.
And what was interesting too, Tim, I think it was a month ago the story came out. There was an ESPN college football reporter, like field reporter, and she actually put out a tweet, and it went viral. And she said, "Hey guys, this day is going to be my last day. I talked to my doctor about the COVID-19 vaccine, and me and my family are trying to have a second kid. I just can't get it right now." And then she ended up actually stepping down, and I was like, "Wow!" And you know, you have to feel for her because, like, that's her dream job, but she put her family first. And she also met with her doctor. So it's like she did all the steps that you're supposed to do. You know, why should she be punished for just – she met with her doctor. And they, you know, the best decision for her and her family to have a second child was just to not get it this time. And then, yeah, she had to step down before that September 30th deadline.
I mean, I'm surprised Sage didn't step down. Is your career really worth that much?
She has a platform where she could go independent. She would have got a ton of support, too, from people. But
after that tweet, yeah.
She conformed.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Imagine if she bailed out and said, okay, I guess I'm getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
Start a podcast.
People would support her.
Start a YouTube channel.
Nope.
Yeah, definitely. Instantly. But you know what? ESPN probably pays her a lot more than she'd start with. So she's an anchor for ESPN. She's probably getting, you know.
Millions.
Yeah. You think millions?
No. Yeah, ESPN, dude, Stephen A. Smith makes more money than, like, star athletes per year.
Everyone's not, like,
A.
Smith. Like, she's probably
But she's
like
high up,
like,
dude. She's been in the game for a while.
Hmm. Even what you said, 250?
Yeah.
250 a year? Yeah. 250,000? Maybe let's even say she's getting 150.
Yeah.
You leaving, going independent, you're not going to get that paycheck this month, and you're crossing your fingers versus being like, well, this job's stable. But you're right. She's probably, I don't know what ESPN pays, but I'd imagine like maybe half a mil, maybe 250 to 500.
It's not even about the money, though. It's about like that social circle. Like then you become that one anchor from ESPN who did not take the vaccine and gave up ESPN. You are that one renegade from that social circle. You become that person.
Yeah, but these people are so dependent. Yeah. It's like, yo, learn to, but that's it, man. This is a country that was founded on a very independently minded, you know, individuals. People who are like, leave me alone, I'll do my thing, the Gadsden flag. And now we're slowly becoming more and more completely and utterly dependent on the system and other people. Why do they care so much about what other people think? That's the weirdest thing to me. Just be like, I don't care. Shut up. What you say doesn't mean anything.
The thing which bothers me the most is like there have all like throughout history in the States, there have always been people who wanted other people to conform to their rules. But the counterculture has also existed right in the same time. And that has like come from like the arts and the hip hop people and the stuff like that. And to see all these athletes, hip hop players, hip hop artists and stuff like that also conform to this government mandates. Mm-hmm. That's the scarier part. Everyone together decided to follow this one set of rules. Well,
it's like, you know, the rage against the machine. Now they rage for the machine.
Yeah, rage on behalf of the machine.
And like culture going on hand to hand with it. And like fortunately or unfortunately, culture moves mountains. Like whether or not it's Joe Biden saying, it'll obviously matter more if, you know, LeBron says it. And like that's the scarier part to me. Like all these big players are saying that you should get vaccinated, and the fact that other people are not vaccinated is putting your life at risk. So you know, kind of sort of like look down at them. Like that's the scarier part. It's creating two different subcultures.
But we already have two different subcultures. The culture war is just being made worse.
Now it's medical.
Well, actually, I think this is impacted by the culture war. You know, people thought in a crisis that America would come together.
Mm-hmm.
Like during the culture war and the peak and the fighting in the street, they're like, man, we need a shared enemy like in Watchmen, the aliens, or if it's the movie you're talking about, Dr. Manhattan. And then everyone's like, that's the enemy, and they join forces. Instead, what happened was the pandemic hit and both sides were like, I'm going to do X. Well, I'm going to do Y. Screw you. And now they're screaming at each other at the top of their lungs. That being said, I love the metric. We had Dr. Robert Murphy on, he's an economist, talking about how the economy is not good. Yet for some reason, and then I point out Democrats think it's good. So that's the easiest way to put it. You know, look, you want to identify what the real cult is. You ever hear that riddle where it's like you come across a fork in the road and there's you can go left, you can go right, and there's two guys standing on each path. One always lies, one always tells the truth. How do you figure out which way is the path to safety? Because, you know, one will lead you to death, one will lead you to safety. And then it's like you ask the guy what the other guy would say and then take the opposite path. So it's like I forgot where I was going. It's a great riddle. But
I have some information. Sage Steele, as of 2019, making $400,000 a year.
Oh, their
net worth is $1.5 million.
That's a lot of money to walk away from.
Yeah.
That was
so when I'll tell you this, man, I worked for Disney, and when I tried breaking my contract, one day I woke up to $40,000 in the bank. And they were like, oh, it's a bonus. I'm like, for what? And they're like, we're just, you know, giving bonuses. And I'm like, uh-huh. Is my contract over yet? Nope, no joke. Like, I went to the president in January, and I'm like, this doesn't make sense for me to be here. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing. You're not doing journalism. You're doing woke stuff. I was like, that's not what I produce. I travel around. I cover on-the-ground stuff. If you want to do that, this makes sense. And then they're like, look how much money we're giving you.
And then
one day I wake up, and I see money in my bank, and they're like, we need to talk. And then I get a phone call, and they're like, yeah, how's the bonus? And I'm like, bonus for what? Like, I'm trying to quit, and you just gave me a ton of money. It was insane. Just nuts.
We're kind of living too in like two different countries in the States. Like, like here in DC, like, you know, like you still indoors, you have to wear the mask. Like, I'm in the gym, like working out, and my mask falls like a little inch below.
Oh, yeah,
and I get like threatened by the gym people. And then like I was in Texas, and it's like, there's like no mask anywhere. It's like life is like all normal. Then you go to another state, and it's like, so even just seeing that cultural, or, you know, shift is also like, it's crazy.
You know what freaks me out too is these N95 masks. Oh. If you wear one of those, no one's going to complain, but they're not protected because you're breathing out complete air. There's no filtration going out, but they don't know, so they don't complain. So it's like this perception battle that.
But if you're wearing a gator, they'll be like, ah.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. I didn't get that memo, though. Like, somehow gator's like a right-wing
too
thing.
Too thin or something?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll put it this way. I went to the bank today. And there was this dude, and he's like, there's a big plastic barrier at the bank, and the guy's wearing the mask. And I'm just like, the people working are all in Bubbleville.
Literal.
Mm-hmm. And everyone else is not. Yeah. Every other person in the building was not masked or doing anything. And I'm just like, this is weird.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's weird because, you know, I'll put it this way. Last year, they said 15 days, right? And then we were like, okay. And then it turned, and that's what, you know, 18 months or whatever. Well, the lockdowns mostly ended, you know, over the summer or the end of spring and summer. And then they said, you know, okay, well, we're going to do masks, you know. And then it was like, it's no big deal. If you want to go to the store, you put the mask on, you take it off when you walk out. But now they're like hardcore while everyone's working, when you're outside, in between sips, getting crazier. And then people were saying at the time, they were like, if they mandate this, it's only a matter of time before they mandate vaccines. People were like, no, that's never going to happen. Then they said, if you want to take the mask off, just get your vaccine. You don't got to wear the mask anymore. Then everyone had to wear the mask again. We literally went from, hey, everybody, get the vaccine and we're back to normal, to me going to the bank and seeing a guy behind a big plastic barrier with a face mask on when everyone there is vaccinated. And I'm just like, there is no point where I would believe this stops. Like, we had the Moderna CEO, like I said, maybe next year. Australia is building more camps. Australia's got another camp set to open mid-2022. They're building camps like crazy. They don't expect this to end ever. New normal, they call it.
Yeah, CNN has that one, like, doctor correspondent person, and she's always like, oh, it's not in your, like, constitution on your rights to, like, fly and stuff. So she's, you know, she's making the argument that you need the vaccine to fly. But the funny thing is just seeing the experts continue to flip-flop. Before the pandemic, there's those interviews of Fauci coming on and saying, like, oh, you don't even need the mask.
Yeah.
Then you need the mask. And then he's like, you know, after you get vaccinated, you don't need it to wear outside. Now you do. It's just the constant flip-flop is like, how do we continue to trust these people?
What's after vaccine mandate?
Travel.
Like passports. I think
they're going to hit those airlines, and I think that's going to be
digital passports.
You know, what gets me is that the I don't consider the pharmaceutical industry part of the medical industry. I think of it as like a, you know, it's a for-profit business.
Yeah.
That makes, you could call it medicine. I mean, it's definitely medicine what they're making, but doctors are, it should be decentralized doctors is like what we built, you know, our modern system on. It just blows my mind that a pharmaceutical company could be commanding this at such speed.
They're going to come, they're going to come for the doctor soon because you could just see it like for instance, like that doctor that spoke to that college, football reporter for ESPN, pretty sure down the line they're going to come after him. Cause we even saw it in California, even this is before the pandemic. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. A lot of the parents were protesting this new bill where, they were going to limit the religious exemptions on the vaccines for kids. And they hammered on the doctor. So before that, the doctors didn't have a limit on the religious exemptions they could give for children on the vaccines. Then the state came in and said, you're only allowed to do 5 per year. And I think that's what, little by little, they're going to start moving on the doctors and basically kind of force them to say, just tell everyone you have to get it.
Well, they're already moving on nurses. We got the story from TimCast.com. North Carolina hospital network fires 175 plus workers for defying COVID vaccine mandate.
Wow.
They say initially 375 employees were temporarily suspended for refusing the injections, but 200, quote, came into compliance and received the medication. The laid off employees have a 5-day window to get the vaccine. Novant employees were given until September 15th to get the shot, reports WLNS. Workers who have started a 2-dose vaccine series will have until October 15th to get the second dose and remain in compliance, the health system said. Novant workers who have been granted a medical or religious exemption are required to undergo weekly COVID testing, wear N95 masks and eye protection while at work. This is weird to me. It's my question. Why are there so many anti-vax
nurses?
I'm saying anti-vax on purpose.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, because I want to call them anti-mandate humans.
Yeah, I mean,
well, but the point is, if the argument from the left is like the mandates, you should get the vaccine. What's the problem? Their perception of these doctors is these nurses, they don't want to get vaccinated. Why not? What about these medical employees? Why are they saying no to this? Is it really just like, I believe the vaccine is safe, but you can't make me do it?
I interviewed some of the nurses that attended some of these anti like mandate protests, and from what I got was, hey, we were on the front lines of COVID. The majority of the nurses got it, already have the antibodies. They don't see a reason for it. So it's just interesting to see the, we're all in this together and you're the frontline heroes. And yeah, to now they're
not
making it
the
scapegoat.
The fact that they are part of this quote unquote system, like the medical system, and like the fact that they don't have faith in this vaccine, which is supposed to be the be all end all. That's eye opening. And the second thing about it is like, we all remember the time when like the culture and the media together were like, nurses are the heroes, frontline workers, which is true, by the way. And now they are like, you know, kind of like turning on them once some of them decide to fall out of line.
Yeah. I mean, I think situations like this are going to wake up more nurses. Cool. And, just imagine that, you know, they've been going a whole year telling them that they're the frontline heroes. We're all in this together. Then a couple months later, just, you know, going to fire them and leave them on the street. All these working, all those 170 people are working class.
Yeah.
People would take, paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, we're just going to leave them off on the street.
Yeah. So can I just clarify? You said they're going to slap N95 masks on the healthcare workers?
Those with religious or medical exemptions.
So those things don't protect outgoing air. They do not filter outgoing air, N95 masks. So what the heck are they doing?
Virtual signaling.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
When they said, when you know, Biden came out and said, either you get the vax or you get tested weekly. That's what they're doing for the OSHA thing. And then the leftists were like, well, you don't got to get vaccinated. You just get a weekly test. And I'm like, can people who are vaccinated still get sick? Yeah, but it's rare. Okay, so yes. Can they still spread COVID? Yes, at basically the same rate as those, anyone who has COVID. But keeping in mind, they're less likely to get it. And I'm like, shouldn't you then test everybody? Shouldn't the vaccinated be tested if that's the case? Well, now we're seeing that, I think ASU announced, it doesn't matter if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Tests. We got this too. Part of the story. The confusion surrounding COVID spilled over into the country's college system this month. Penn State University suspended 117 students after the co-eds missed their mandatory COVID tests. Students at University Park are subject to required weekly COVID-19 testing, and who have missed at least 3 weeks of testing have been notified by Penn State they are out of compliance with the university's health and safety policies and have been placed on interim suspension through the Office of Student Counsel. To date, 117 students at University Park have been placed on interim suspension for their failure to properly comply with Penn State's weekly COVID-19 testing requirement.
Yeah, those students are based.
No, but think about it. They're like, either you get vaccinated or you do weekly tests. Then people are like, okay, so they get vaccinated. Then ASU and other colleges are like, no, you got to do the weekly tests anyway.
And in some colleges, what they're doing is on the weekly tests for the students who are unvaccinated, they're making the students pay for it. Wow. Every single week. So they're like, okay, you know, we're not going to force you, but we're going to, you know, we're going to hit you financially every single week.
What happens if they like decide to like, just like not take these tests anyway? Do you have, do they get like forced out of college? Do, like,
yeah, they
probably. Yeah. They're going to kick them out.
So like now your degree depends on it, literally. Now whether the fact.
You know what, man? We're at a point where too many people are just permanent children. They're permanent children. These people at these colleges, these people at these jobs, you know, Sage Steele, much all due respect for speaking out, still a child. Mm-hmm. A child who says, I cannot survive without the nanny state, you know, providing that teat to suckle. Dude, figure it out. Oh, no, but I need a degree. No, you don't. Figure out how to survive. Stop being so dependent and greedy. There's a lot of people. I'm not speaking for families. I understand families have bigger issues. But if you're going to college, yo, there's a million and one ways to survive in this world and to make a living. You don't need college. But what about my dreams? I want to do this. Yeah, well, then make your decision. What's more important? The job or your principles? For all the people that are like, I haven't done any. I don't care what the government mandates I do. I'll do it anyway. It's no big deal for me. Well, they're not violating any of their personal tenets. They're going to go to college. They're going to get a job and they're happy with it. But if you're someone who's going to come out and be like, I oppose this, but I'd rather have the degree, then I don't believe you that you actually oppose it. Maybe it just is a mild inconvenience for you, or you just virtue signaling. If you really cared and said, I oppose it, I ain't going anywhere near it. Yo, this is your body or your child's body. Mm. That's the craziest thing to me. That people are like Sage Steele can be like, this is sick and this is scary. But I don't mind if someone injects me with something. I'm like, then do you really feel that way? Or like, what's the point of what you're saying? If you really felt that way, you'd be like, I ain't going to do it.
Yeah, that's how I'm already in that boat. Like, if they do the mandatory vaccine for the airplanes, I'm about to jump on that horse, man. It's 1800 style and take it back to Wild West.
It's way easier than that. You just get a private plane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Sorry for the rich people. Yeah.
The ones waiting for you outside.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
The beanie plane. The beanie.
You know that, you guys want to know a secret. You know rich people don't need passports, right?
Oh,
you think I'm playing? No. You think I'm playing? No, legit. So, you know, I know some people, friends of my friends, particularly wealthy, they hop on a private plane. All they got to do is say, like, this is so-and-so, and we're flying in. They'll fly into a European airport. Nobody checks them.
Right.
They get special access. They land, and nobody cares. You know, these are billionaires. Like anyone's going to stand in their way.
Nope. This whole, like, two different classes, this visual was, like, so obvious during the Met Gala, too, which you brought up in the beginning. Like,
it
looked so crazy, right? Like
Hunger Games,
literally. Like, they were dressed fancy, no masks. They will look all, like, clean and hoity. And back in the line, and they were, like, these poor, like, I don't know what they call, like, drape holders or whatever.
Yeah, they probably get paid, like, $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Seriously.
He's like
that guy carrying AOC's drape.
Oh, that was the cringiest.
Poor guy.
It's like, the lack of self-awareness was, like, so, like, crazy to me. Like, you guys see what people are looking at right now? Like, those people, they're all, like, masked up and, like, standing all shy and curled up in the back while you all dress fancy.
Yeah, there was also a dinner too, like, Nancy Pelosi had a dinner in California with, like, some politicians and some lobbyists, and, like, all the workers are Hispanic, and they're wearing, like, the mask attending to them, and they're just these rich liberals, like, oh, yes, yeah. So it's like,
think about this, though. Think about what's being built when you have the servants walking in wearing masks and the elites. No rules. I'll tell you, I've been to a bunch of events. For like, you know, like celebrity events and like, you know, expensive dinners. And it always was really weird to me when it's like all of these people are standing around and they're like, you know, eating and drinking. And then the servant staff comes out and they're like serving you food. And I'm just thinking to myself, like I was at a Google event once, super VIP, like high profile YouTuber thing, several years ago, maybe like 6 years ago. And I'm like, I wonder what these people are thinking. You know, like these wait staff that are there wearing these weird little uniforms, carrying you food and just walking around while all of the elites and, you know, privileged and, you know, higher ups are laughing and partying and you're there serving these millionaires. Like, I would never do that. I would never do that. When I was growing up, I snuck into those events. You know, I would sneak backstage and be like, I'm here for the show. You know, I'm not here to, you know, serve anybody. And now it's even crazier that it's almost like, don't look me in the eyes when you're serving me. Wear your mask. Don't you dare speak. What did someone say? Like in the Hunger Games book, there were people, servants called Avox.
Avox, yeah.
And the capital elites, like they had their tongues cut out.
Yeah.
So they couldn't talk. So they wouldn't talk to the capital elites. And now you have these people wearing masks walking up. I kind of feel like that would be a fun event to do. Be like, just do it in New York. And if you're a performer, you're exempt from the mandate, right? So I could put on an event and as the performer be totally exempt from having to do this. And then I would put the rules in place for all of the staff, all the people who live in New York. I'd just be so disparaging. I'd be like, you are utter scum. If you're working this event, you are disgusting. Keep your head down at all times. Don't look any of my guests in the eyes, you plague rat. And then, you know, it'd be really funny because then we'll get like a bunch of performers to all just like be overtly snooty with their pinkies out in champagne, pointing and laughing and being, look at the stupid pores. They voted for this.
Oh my gosh, we're great.
Rich. We don't have to do anything. We flew on a private plane. You think we have to abide by those rules? See, no one said it to these people in their faces. AOC can go to this event and be like, I'm there for cultural enrichment. No mask. Having some guy in a mask have to walk behind her carrying her dress. Where's the wake-up call for these people who keep supporting this crap? Maybe they need someone to laugh in their faces and say, you love it, you know you do, you sadistic masochist. You love that the rich, wealthy elites can do whatever they want, and you will just sit there and take it.
We need to see the revolution, man, of the working class.
Yeah, there you
go. They're asleep right now.
Maybe I really should put on an event. You know what? Maybe Joe can do this, Rogan, when he goes onto the Madison Square Garden because they got vax mandates. I called these businesses in New York and I'm like, are you enforcing this? They're all like, yes, we are. No medical exemptions. You know, maybe I should just book a venue in New York and then just take all the time on stage to mock and belittle the establishment. I'll be like, look at you guys. You guys are losers. Pathetic. You wish you were rich. Yeah, but we don't have to abide by any rules. Look at me on stage. I can do whatever I want. You can't do anything about it. When I leave, I'm going to be getting on a private plane where I don't got to follow any mandates or any masks or anything because that's what it means to be rich. Not like you, you poor little plague rat with your garbage establishment. Follow the rules for the edict of the mayor. Someone needs to say it to their faces. Maybe get them riled up so they can start saying, I demand my freedom and don't disrespect me. America used to be the country where you could be a piss poor drunk in the gutter and see the mayor walk by and be like, screw you, mayor. I don't give a damn. And we had free speech. Now is the point. Now we're a nation where the people are like, but the mayor said I have to do it. Aw, poor baby. The mayor said so. I guess then you have to just do it. And so long, you mentioned this earlier, so long as everyone feels that the public demands it, they just do it. What happened to the Americans who are like, get off my property? I guess they don't live in cities.
I think that we do need an event like that, Tim. I think you need to put that on because that's the subtext. When you look at the pictures from the Met Gala, that is the subtext, and that is what they're telling you. They're telling you that if you don't make as much money as AOC, right, if you don't have as many Twitter followers as some of those people, you deserve to wear a mask, and they don't have to because they're just better than you. But no one gets it through their head. No one thinks about it that hard. They just take it for granted. They're like, this is fine. This is the way things are.
Now I got a question, right? The people who came to the Met Gala, New York City is under a mask mandate.
Yep.
How come AOC wasn't obligated to, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's a vaccine mandate.
Vaccine mandate.
The vaccine, not the mask mandate.
No.
Okay, so I was wrong on that one. Okay. But they all were vaccinated, so I'll walk that one back. Yeah, so either way.
But the exemption they had were like, you know, they were like posing for the camera, and then you got to show off yourself, so I guess, like, you don't have to, like, you know, follow the mask.
Mm. Right.
But at the same time, like, people back holding your drapes have to.
Maybe what needs to happen is we need to take it one step further and, like, put on an event where we not only insist that everybody wear a mask, but they should also wear like a red dress. You know, they should all be wearing, it should all be women. They should all be wearing red dresses. They should like handmaids.
Handmaid tale.
Yeah.
And then be like, what's wrong? It's a beautiful red dress. Wear your mask and don't look me in the eyes.
Call it an interactive art piece.
Yes.
And then you just belittle them for an hour and at the end be real nice and like shake hands when you're done and be like, oh, it's all an act. But they won't know that. They won't know that.
You
on
live
stage.
Here. You voted for this. You can leave New York at any time. You love it and you know it. Each and every one of those people, they want to have the boot on their neck from people like de Blasio. Because if at any point they didn't, you can walk right out of that city. So why don't they?
Poverty.
Well, actually, maybe you can't walk out. There's no walking bridge that brings you to Jersey.
New York? No. You got to drive through those Jersey drivers, yeah.
Right. You got the tunnels.
You got to face it.
Yeah. So there's no walking tunnels or bridges to get out of that place, huh?
You
take
a
subway. Take a train.
You can take the PATH train to get out of New York.
Just swim out of the Hudson River.
So, at the worst case scenario is you put on the mask, you go on the PATH train, and then you're out.
You're free.
And then you start walking. But people want to be there. You know, I'll put it this way. A lot of people are like, I can't move. I don't have the money to do it. And I'm like, what you're really saying is, with all due respect, the comfort of your apartment, the job you have in New York, is more valuable to you than risking it for your freedom. For me, I feel the opposite. I had an apartment in Chicago. I just got up and left. Got a ride share to California and had no plans. I was like, because my freedom, life, exploration, adventure, discovery was more important to me than stability. So for most of these people, they're like, I'd rather be safe than free. Not me. And that's the thing. America used to be a country of I'd rather be free than safe. But now it's, you know, too many. I guess the cities are almost entirely safe over free.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked because in the beginning of the year, I was spending some time in California just interviewing, you know, parents who are having struggles with their children with the mental health. And kind of what you were saying too, Tim, is like when I would speak to those parents, they were like, hey, my kid's mental health is so important to me. Like I'm literally selling my house now. We're going to Utah. We're going to another state. And I remember too, when we were interviewing, you know, all those kids and documentary thing, I mean, all these kids couldn't play in sports. They were, you know, shut down, locked down. Yet you turn on the TV and the Dodgers were on. You know, Tom Brady was winning the Super Bowl. And that's what pissed off a lot of those, like, parents. But I've met a lot of those parents that said, I'm done with California. We're selling this house. My kid's happiness is way more important than this. And then I would follow up like, hey, how's your first month in Utah? And they're like, it's everything. Our kids are smiling again. They're playing. You know, we got our life back.
Yeah, again, like, so like, it's going back to our previous topic. It's like two different, like, countries, right? So if you desire safety and that bubble, you know, live in California. If you desire freedom, go to Utah, I guess. So like, that's the whole thing. Like, whatever you choose, there's a place for it, right? Like,
there's a writer, his name is Alec McMillis, and he actually did a great article where he compared the state of Texas and New Mexico, and he looked at the kids who played football. So in Texas, they were wide open playing football. In New Mexico, they were completely shut down, and the suicide rates of those kids skyrocketed. And he said, this is just comparing like those two states, and yeah, seeing the amount of kids in New Mexico that ended up, you know, killing themselves during the lockdowns. And he really did a great piece of just analyzing both kids on each side. And I'm talking about kids that were like, you know, you could be living in New Mexico, like bordering Texas, and you were completely shut down, yet like 12 miles away from you, they're playing football on Friday nights. They have that normal life. And he just kind of did a comparison, and it was something I'd never seen before. I think in Las Vegas, they had Clark County, they had so many suicides from the students that the superintendent came out and said, we have to reopen immediately. It's an emergency. And, you know, we need to bring those conversations back and saying, you know, the mental health impact on these kids is like, it's like everything. It's everything.
It was like a literal single dimension analysis. Like, hey, this is life saved versus life's not saved. That's all we care about. And that's the only rule we need to own. That's the only barometer which matters here. Like, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if you lose your job. It doesn't matter if your kid's mental health is down in the gutter. It doesn't matter if you're a single income family. None of those factors matters. The only factors matters is whether or not that total number of lives saved versus life not saved. Like, that's not a way you run things, let alone make policies based on it.
Yeah, I think, and I saw there was another great reporter, Lucas Thomason. He put out like the stat of like in the military, it was like military members that died of COVID-19. It was like very low. It was like 20, 30. And it was like military members in that same period that died on suicide. It was like 500,
boom,
600.
Yeah.
And just making those comparisons, kind of like what probably State Steel was doing was the comparison with the Chicago kids and the COVID. It was, yeah, I mean, like.
And they don't talk about obesity either.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying.
30.2% of hospitalizations are obese related.
Just obesity. In general?
Of all of them, according to the CDC.
Yeah, it's funny because you know, you could watch the CNN and they'll be like, oh, we're all about health and get vaccinated. And their commercials are like shoving pain pills down your throat and all these things. It's like,
yeah, eat sugar. Now take this high blood pressure medicine to counteract the negative effects.
Yeah, it'll be a commercial take this pain pill. Then like the next commercial would be like, did you take that pain pill and you are getting these side effects? Call this number.
Too, yeah.
Think about a fast food meal for just 1 second. You got a burger, fries, and enough sodium to give you, you know, probably 200 to 300% your daily sodium intake. Lots of fats and sugars and salt. So what do you drown it out with? Caffeine. You get a big psychoactive stimulant along with your depressing meal to balance it out, because you're eating all this garbage that makes you go, So what do you got to do? Psychoactive stimulant picks you right back up. Man.
Cycle.
Talk about just burning yourself out with garbage. I always thought it was funny. you know, that we have soda everywhere and like a lot of sodas have caffeine in it. And I'm like, this says a lot about our diet. We feel bad. We're sluggish and unhealthy. So we have a legal psychoactive stimulant in all of these drinks, caffeine. You can buy caffeine pills and caffeine gum. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's something wrong with us if you got to be doing that. Maybe you need to be exercising or doing something. I don't know.
Yeah, better. Like the CDC or no health director ever came out and says, hey, guys, we are the fattest country in the world. This is what you could do. Yeah,
wait, this is not the fattest country?
I'm pretty sure Lebanon is.
Well, we're up there.
They do have really good food though, Lebanon.
But they never just came out and said, hey guys, something that could probably help is just, you know, 30 minutes of exercise a day, get some sun in you.
Oh no, nothing else matters.
They kept all that info on like on the down low. They should have mandated gym memberships or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Nauru, Cook Islands, Palau, Marshall Islands, Tuvalu, Niue, Tonga, Samoa, okay, Kiribati.
We're doing pretty good then.
We're number 12. Wow.
Is that because Coca-Cola got in there? In Chile, they used to be, in 20 years ago, they were like living life.
Yeah, they should have mandated.
Now they're like obese.
They should have mandated like every American to watch, the Arnold documentary Iron Pump and pump, go get pump. Motivated yeah. and go hit Venice yes. Beach or something.
Or fasting. Let's jump to this border stuff. This story is the subhead in this story made me laugh. From Fox News, Texas Border Patrol agents discover stash houses packed with nearly 100 illegal immigrants. But wait, none of the apprehended migrants were wearing personal protective equipment. good job, Fox News.
Sam, you sure that's at the Babylon Bee?
Yeah. It's Fox News. That's what it says. I don't know why they brought that up. CBP said none of the migrants had been wearing PPE.
Oh my God.
Agents provided them PPE and they were medically screened before being processed. You'd think this was a Babylon Bee. CBP has not said one of the migrants tested positive for COVID-19. So the story here should be that they found 100 illegal immigrants in stash houses, but for some reason it's turned into like PPE. I guess when you drive a narrative so hard, you got people distracted. I mean, look, that Gabby Petito thing. I don't even care. I was talking to this guy earlier, and I was like, well, we're doing a new show. It's like mysteries, true crime, paranormal. And he was like, oh, so Gabby Petito. And I was like, never.
Nope. Wait, why not? I want to know. I'm curious. Why not?
Because, for one, the story is about a missing woman.
Correct.
There are probably 300 missing women now with tons of news stories.
Yeah.
Secondly, we know that she's not alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that means the missing women who are alive could use some news coverage, so perhaps we can find her or them while they're still alive. Also, this guy involved in the story, apparently there's evidence there was, you know, cross domestic dispute stuff. And I'm like, okay, look, by all means, report the story like you'd report any other story. But this obsession with it, that's like people just started pushing all these stories nonstop about what's going on with this one guy. And I'm like, there's probably one of these women, serial killer. Hitchhiker, murderer, kidnapper. This is a guy who was in a domestic dispute where apparently in one video she was like admitted to hitting him and then he hit her and then who knows what happened. I don't know what happened. I'm not gonna pretend to know what happened. But it's just one story that they're giving all this attention to. And now here we are talking about it. I don't care.
I think my favorite part about that, Tim, is seeing it with like all the liberal media came out and was like, oh, this is a missing white woman syndrome. And they're like, we have like every month or every day 300 indigenous women go missing and they don't get the attention. I'm like, you're the mainstream media. You're supposed to do that.
You have the platform
to do that.
And they're the ones who don't do it.
It's like the Spider-Man meme.
And then Brett, who works here, made a good point. He was like, didn't people nearly burn down the country because a black man was killed?
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, this is just, it's the stupidest trash ever. You know, to a certain degree, I understand what they're saying with missing white woman syndrome. They're wrong, though. Because there are a bunch of missing white women who are not being covered.
There was a video of Petito with her nipples poking through her shirt. That's why. It's a bunch of like young, oversexed guys pushing this narrative.
No, bro. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
But you can Google search missing women and find a bunch of.
But that's why this one got.
No, you can find a bunch of other attractive young women who are still alive and missing right now.
With video of their nipples poking through their shirts?
Yes, Ian. Yes.
Well.
That's why I'm saying this is a stupid story because she had some Instagram followers.
I think it was also.
And the media chose to push it. And then everyone else, having nothing better to do, were like, I guess I'll talk about it too.
Well, one thing they had better do was take the spotlight off of the Afghanistan surrender.
Oh yeah,
that was like a week after that.
Yeah, but there were a lot of other stories. Yeah. I mean, the border crisis.
Yeah, there's always something. There's always something.
People love it because there's a lot of young men in this country and a lot of missing relationships and
you see a hot girl on TV, it's like, man, does that draw people's focus.
There are probably hundreds of women of the same age and same everything with videos.
Maybe it's like the right place at the right time kind of thing. They're just, like, this one's good.
Sure. It went viral on TikTok, and then the media was like, we'll roll with this story. And it was meaningless and nonsensical. So we got a real story that I don't want to deviate from, where we've got stash houses full of illegal immigrants. And so I'm like, I'm going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about one missing person.
Right.
When there could literally, I could talk about other missing people. How about all the people being smuggled by human traffickers?
Mm. There you go.
That's not the news.
You got to get a video on them. That's it, man. People like,
there's tons of
videos. They believe what they see out of sight, out of mind.
Put it on TikTok.
Just go on my Twitter. We got the video
of all the people being smuggled.
Yeah, smuggled into the country at record numbers.
And some of these kids
don't make the news.
These kids are used. Mm-hmm. So some smuggler will take a child, kidnap them, and then they'll use it to cross the border and say, it's my child.
Yep.
And then as soon as they cross the border, they throw the kid and they walk away.
Or they'll
return the kid and give it to somebody else. And this kid has no idea what's going on. It's just being used as a trafficking tool so that bleeding hearts can be like, the poor baby. We should make sure they're unified with their parent. And you're like, that's not the kid's parent, dude. That's a smuggler trying to circumvent the law, claiming that kid is theirs. Well, we don't know that. That's the problem when they talk about child separation. They just make up, Trump was so evil, he separated parents from their, you know, from their kids. How do we know those kids are related to those old
parents,
people?
Yeah.
We don't.
Even last night, Tim, I was in Roma, Texas, and we were documenting the human smugglers bringing in these Nicaraguan migrants, and there was one man you could tell he had a little boy with him. You could tell that he wasn't the dad. He was grabbing him rough, and when we had the cameras out, he was just acting really frantic and nervous. It's like we're watching in real time, and you know, where's the media? This is what we're seeing at the border is impacting brown and black lives at a record number. All the human smuggling, the trafficking, like I said, July and August is the first time in Border Patrol history that back-to-back month over 200 apprehensions. I mean, you can only imagine all the kids. And like I said, we witnessed it last night. There was this man just grabbing this kid, almost like manhandling him, and I'm like, yo, I mean, look what's going on. Border Patrol is like, we know what's going on. That's not the dad. And that's happening every single day. And when we're down there documenting the human smuggling, one thing that I always come to mind is like, this is just
a little bit
part of a border that we're able to see. Could you imagine the rest of it in Arizona to New Mexico and Texas? And it's happening every day. It's become like the new normal over there. Like over there, that Roma, Texas, they're used to having the wraps drop off kids. Sex traffic, human smuggling. Like I said, they had those bracelets, so you could keep track with the proof of purchase. And that's not making the news. That's not making the headlines. That should be like our top thing. Like, we actually have a humanitarian crisis at our border. I don't know if the rest of America just because it's the United States, you know, when people think humanitarian crisis, they think Yemen or the Middle East, but we literally have one here at the southern border, and it's happening every single day. It's happening right now while we're speaking.
To some extent, like, people are like desensitized to it, like. Since like the drum was being beaten since like 2017, like the first like Trump puts kids in cages, that was the first time when people were like, oh, there's an actual crisis at the border. And then from there, it was like today, it's like,
oh, it got dropped.
It used to get dropped. It's like different group of people. Back then it was Mexico. Now it's like what, Haitians.
And I was speaking to a border patrol agent in these border facilities, right? They're in these rooms that they call pods, and these pods, they're only meant for like 8 migrants at a time.
Yeah.
Border patrol agent was telling me
stuffing people
there's like
in there.
400 people in these 8 person pods each, stacked on against each other.
How many?
Like 400 in each room, where they're only meant for 8. Like he said, people are literally sleeping on top of each other. Like he was texting me all this information. He's like, hey, with these Haitians, it's even worse. And that a lot of those Haitian males, they came with young children. And he's like, we're trying to break them up, you know, from the real fathers and not. But they're like, there's so many migrants. There's just not enough that we could do. And even NBC News put out a report last month that those migrants are being sexually assaulted in those facilities. There's no way to keep track of them. The New York Times put out a report last month that one out of every 3 migrant children released into the United States, they lose track of.
Biden was smuggling kids across the United States. Remember that story?
Yep.
There's video of it. And that stuff just disappears. And the funny thing is, Joe Biden's approval rating didn't take a hit from it.
Nope.
Can I see one of those wristbands?
Can I
have one of those? Are you giving? Can I have one of those to keep? Thanks, man. This is it. If you want to remember, I want to remember this.
This is just like the reason why I kind of collect them and kind of bring them is just to kind of show the kind of like the American audience, like this is happening in real time. And they say, you know, on these bracelets, they say entregas, which means delivered. And they actually treat these migrants like almost like an Amazon product, like a shipment. Huh. So two things either happen. Either the migrants have already paid. So they'll be, you know, they'll cross and, you know, they'll be released into the United States. Or two is if they didn't pay their full price, then they'll be essentially become indentured servants and slaves here in the United States.
Experience in California.
Yeah, and then you can see like the little kids always have these bracelets on their ankles so they can't like easily come off. So it's just, it's crazy to see it in person and that it's literally happening in the United States. And one Border Patrol source told me that the cartels are making up to $14 million a day just off human smuggling, not even counting their
drug profits.
Where does
this money come from?
It's the cartel money.
Like, No. Well, the cartels
are in the cartels.
No, the cartels are really smart. Is when they get connected with these migrants, these huge caravans, is the majority of like the Central Americans, they already have family in the state. So what the cartels do is they get connected with the family in the states, and they make them pay the $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 for that fee. So it's very well organized, and the people back in the states.
Where do they get that money from?
The family that already lives here in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like so
they
like,
send their money back to the
people. Yeah, so instance, like I was interviewing a couple Salvadoran families that like they had to pay a coyote like $7,000 to get like their cousins here to the border. So like the cartels are smart. They'll get connected with the family members back in the U.S. They'll make them pay the fee because they have the money, and that's how they kind of organize and get here. And like I said, and if they don't pay the fee, they essentially become indentured servants, and that's something that me and Sonic got to see firsthand. We just spent like 2 months in Southern California documenting these cartels who are coming into that area. They're starting up illegal marijuana grows. So usually when people hear illegal, you know, marijuana grows, it's like, oh, what's the big deal? It's just pot. It's just like two hippie dudes in the middle of nowhere listening to reggae. But what's happening is that these cartels found out that in California, it's so rural, these deserts, they start up illegal marijuana operations, and then they'll smuggle the migrants from South Texas and force them to work those marijuana grows.
Wow.
And they'll arm them because out there, they're having literally cartel battles between other cartels and other migrant groups. Me and Sonic got to be embedded with San Bernardino County, their marijuana enforcement team when they went to raid a marijuana grow that was operated by the Chinese mafia. And when we got there, the people who were working that grow were Chinese nationals that were smuggled in through the southern border undocumented. And they were crying when they got arrested. I mean, these are people who are literally working off a debt. They have no idea.
That's their way of paying back to the cartel members by putting their hours in these marijuana grows.
Wow.
But the problem is, like, since the cartel knows, like, they are, like, kind of the kingpin, so, like, they are not involved with the ground to ground. So anytime raids happen, the people who get arrested are these undocumented immigrants. And this is, like, a whole system. Like, hey, you come into the border, and if you are already paid into the system, well and good. If you're not paid, the way you put work in is by basically infiltrating these Californian deserts and by growing marijuana. And not only that, there is like cartel turf wars between different cartels, because there's Mexican cartel, there's Chinese cartel, there's Armenian cartels. So it's like a whole racket.
Armenian and Chinese down there in Mexico.
In California.
In California.
Wow.
In the Californian desert. And we saw all three.
So when we were out there, we discovered that there's an Armenian crime organization, the Chinese mafia, and Mexican cartels are all fighting in Southern California for these large desert properties. So when I was out in, I was covering the border early with the crisis, I met Congressman Mike Garcia, who represents District 25 in California. So for those who don't know, District 25 is a purple district, meaning it could swing Democrat, it could swing Republican. That was the same.
It was what's her face?
It was the district that Katie Hill had. But then she got caught with threesome in her staffers. But what happened was is that Mike Garcia won in that special election by less than 500 votes. And then a year later into him, you know, serving for Congress, he has now this cartel issue. So when I met, you know, Congressman Mike Garcia, I was like, hey, Congressman, like, you're the only representative from California, like, in South Texas, like, how come you're out here? He's like, hey, we have a major Mexican cartel human trafficking, human smuggling problem back in my district. The crazy thing is, like, Mark Garcia's district is where my hometown is. So I was like, wait, back in, you know, like, Palm Dino Valley, like, we have a cartel problem? He's like, yeah, you got to come see it for yourself. And that's when I called Sonic. I'm like, you know, we need to do a full investigation, find out what's going on. So we went deep dive and went into, like, the cartels, the human smuggling. We even got like a little spy drone that we would fly over the grow ops. And you know, there's just so much also layers to this. And what kind of really opened up the floodgates was that in California, they passed Prop 64, which legalized cannabis statewide, mm-hmm. but it downgraded illegal cultivation from a felony to a misdemeanor. And now the cartels kind of opened up this black market business and are just dominating. And then what helps them out in LA County is they have a very progressive DA, George Cascone, who, I mean, doesn't charge anyone at all. And it's just, it's kind of crazy. And this is all resulting from the southern border.
Well, so what's up with these Chinese cartels? How are they getting in? What are they doing?
So they're essentially same way as the Mexican cartels is they buy property, start up illegal grow ops, and they'll smuggle their own Chinese nationals
through Mexico,
and up to California. Like I said, I was shocked
we were shocked because we were like, hey, these are a lot of Mexican people. Like we walked in, so the sheriff was like, hey, so we have a raid coming. Do you want to shadow us? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. And we followed them, and once we pulled up to the grow, we saw the grow. There was like huge marijuana plants getting confiscated, and then we saw like four people like handcuffs on sitting outside waiting to be like put into the car. And then we just peeked in, and they were like clearly not Hispanic. And then we were like, what are the Chinese people doing here? And then we're like, oh, even they are smuggled through the Mexican border, through the southern border, and like that's the gateway.
Yeah, Ed Calderon was on the show last week, and he said it's like an open joke around the world that anyone can get into the U.S. through the Mexican border. They just go to Mexico and then up they come.
I mean, they're right. I think when these cartels or these human smuggling groups look at what happened with the Haitians, it almost, you know, we're giving them a better argument because all they can say is, hey, you just go up to the U.S., you claim you're a family unit, we will push you in a caravan.
Correct.
They can't handle it, so they're just literally going to process you really quick and release you into the United States. And we even did interviews, Tim, with these Haitians outside the airport. And I was like, hey, you know, were you tested for COVID-19 before being released into the public? Nope.
Of course not. Oh,
yeah.
Not only that, they were treating the whole system as like a win. Like they were like, oh, we did send back the single males, but we kept the families. I'm like, okay, are these families though? So like this.
But there's no way to verify if they're family. So yeah, like I said, this is all resulting from an open border. It has really a lot of consequences, even for just regular American workers. This big corporations love the open borders because it keeps their wages down.
Yep.
And I mean, you just get hit all angles. So yeah, me and Sonic went, like I said, we did a deep dive 2 months into it. The documentary is going to come out next week. So we really hope a lot of people give, you know, just look at it and just kind of see the reality on the ground of, you know, people being human smuggled, human trafficked. I think when people think about this, they don't think that it could happen on American soil at the rate it is, but it's happening. And you know, and Ed said this on your show too, Tim, is that people think that the Mexican cartels are not here. They're here. They've been here for years, and now they're getting more emboldened.
People forget about the fact that people usually don't empathize with the topic because they're like, oh, once they're here, like whatever. But like once they're here, they're in our communities. Like I don't know what they're doing. Like some of them may be like honest workers, but at times they're working for the cartels and growing weed and, you know, terrorizing neighborhoods and deserts where there's like no cop presence.
You know, people don't understand too. I did a story on the drought in California several years ago, went to a bunch of farms. I met some young kids who were born in America, but their parents were illegal immigrants. And they were working on farms, you know, like picking dates or something, or whatever fruits they do and stuff like that down there. And they were like, oh yeah, you know, our parents get $14 an hour. And I was like, that's really interesting. You know, and they were like, their parents aren't documented. That's what they said. And they make $14 an hour. And I'm like, $14 an hour? Like, why not just hire an American? It's actually really obvious. No benefits, no taxes. So if they can pay someone $14 an hour, an American would have to get paid more because of taxes mm-hmm. on both ends, the employment tax as well as the person's income tax. So when people say things like, well, they're doing the jobs Americans wouldn't want to do, I'm pretty sure if you went to an American and said, you know, $15 an hour, $14 an hour, you know,
for
a lot
dates,
of people
yeah.
would be like, yes, please. Because right now they have the fight for 15 in New York. They got it basically. But this was around the same time. Around the same time I'm hearing that illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrants, are getting $14 an hour to pick fruit in the fields. Americans are fighting for a minimum wage at that level because they're not making that much at McDonald's or whatever. So basically they look at it this way. You know, we're going to pay $14 an hour to this person and we're going to save 7.5% on employment tax. They're going to save 7.5% on their end. So we'd have to pay $15 an hour. We save a little bit, but we're still paying comparable to what an American would get. So yeah, Americans would love to have that job.
When I was in LA, I was working at a restaurant that had a lot of illegal immigrants working there, and they were the cool people, but illegally in the country. And there was this like building on the street that had all these like apartments in it where they stayed. And it was like for illegal immigrants. And it was super cheap rent. And I wanted it. It was super nice, but compared to my place. But it, so yeah.
But this concept crazy. Too, like it, you know, years ago, like even Bernie Sanders would come out and said, that he didn't support open borders because of the, how it impacted American wages. So even, you know, he had a, you know, he got pushed by the progressive group, but even he saw it. And I think just, you know, we got to take out the politics and just say, this is an American, this is an American problem that we're seeing. And right now the people who are suffering the most and being taken advantage of are these like legit family units or these innocent, you know, people that are living in these countries that are getting sold this dream of like, hey, you just come to the U.S., you got to get temporary protected status. The time is to come now. The Biden administration put that signal. I remember during that campaign, Kamala Harris had that famous quote that went viral. Was like, you know, if you come here and illegally, we're not going to deport you. That's inhumane. We're going to be the more humane organization. I mean, just that little quote, you just gave the cartels the
ammo. Biden
ammo.
Said, come to the border.
The whole like
Biden said, surge the border. If you want to come, come.
Give us your weak, your sick, your poor. Wasn't that the American thing back in the day? That's not the America of today. We're overloaded.
No, you mean going to Ellis Island to be processed?
Yeah, like come immigrants, everyone. That was 100 years ago. We're not in that position now to take all these new immigrants.
That was a poem at an island where immigrants were being processed legally.
Of course. Well, but I don't even think we can handle. I mean, we can barely handle legal immigration right now. This country is overloaded.
I think
and
we
poorly
can
optimized.
I think we can handle legal immigration. The problem is, how can you handle legal immigration when we can't track all of the illegal immigration?
Exactly.
So we're like, hey, we want to allocate X amount of space to people. We've got this line of people, and then everyone just rushes in. You're like, I don't know where everybody went or what our resources are anymore.
Yeah. And look what happened with the Haitians. 15,000 came and
from Chile and Brazil.
Yeah, and then they get processed and they got released in the United States all in under like a week just because the Haitians under that bridge was looking bad optics for the Biden administration. Yeah. They're like, hey, just hurry up, speed it up. We don't even care if you test them or not. Just get them out of here.
The thing which also bothers me, and this is like a devil's advocate argument, is just like Haiti is actually a messed up country. Like there's like so many things wrong with Haiti, especially with the president getting murdered and like earthquakes and stuff like that. So there may be some people with actual asylum claims there. So, but when you overload the system and you have been doing that for like 5-6 years, maybe those people like, you know, who are supposed to get asylum in an ideal world are like lost in the dust.
And guess what? There's even more coming. There's already 10,000 stuck in Tapachula, Mexico. There's even thousands more making their way through Colombia and Panama. And it's not just the Haitians, it's the Venezuelans that are still coming at a record number. Central Americans are still coming at a record number. We were literally documenting the human smuggling last night in Roma. And it's just like, you know, when I speak to Border Patrol, it's like, you know, for them, and it's kind of a little bit obvious now looking at the hindsight, but it's like just the removal of Trump's, you know, remain in Mexico policy really just opened up the floodgates because the thinking was for the migrants during the Trump administration is, why would I pay the cartels and human smuggling groups to cross into the U.S. illegally for the Trump administration to give me a court order, but I would have to wait in a border town of Mexico, which is most likely cartel related. The risk is just too high. So when the Biden administration came out and said that it's removing the remain in Mexico policy, that literally just opened up the floodgates.
But didn't a court overrule that? So you got
a court overruled it and said you have to do it. But from my reporting, we haven't seen any evidence of those migrants having to wait in Mexico. I mean, we just saw with the Haitians. If it was true, those Haitians would have had to stay in Ciudad Acuña.
They were going back and forth.
Yeah.
There's no border.
Yeah, I was in the. I don't know if you guys saw the video on Twitter, but I was in the water when they were transporting supplies, and I asked the Haitians and the Mexicans, said, "Hey, how come you're staying here and not going over there?" They're like, "We were only eating like one time a day over there, so it's like I'd rather be on the Mexican side."
Now
the Mexican authorities went to the Ciudad Acuña. It was like a makeshift, you know, Haitian camp, and they made those Haitians move. So we're getting reports right now that there's thousands of Haitians going to Reynosa, Mexico, which that means the direct town across from them is McAllen, Texas. One of the hardest hit sections in Texas is that RGV area.
Man.
You were saying earlier, I think, that Haitians that had moved to Haiti or that had moved to Chile.
Yeah.
Were living in Chile for a long time. They've been there. Now they come up here and they get deported from the U.S., but they get deported to Haiti.
Well, essentially what happened, Ian, is all these Haitians were living in Chile, had already had Chilean IDs, refugee status, and things like that. Then when we made the transition from the Trump to the Biden administration, the smugglers told them, your time is now if you want to make a run to the States. So we had thousands of Haitians come up, but they got stuck in Tapachula, Mexico. So that's the border town in South Mexico. The government there actually didn't let the Haitians travel without proper documents. The only thing is that the government never actually processed documents. So what happened was is you had thousands of Haitians living in Tapachula, waiting for something to happen, like sleeping on the streets. while thousands more kept coming. So many came on the week of September 12th, which is actually a Mexican holiday called El Grito. The local government gave them a 3-day pass to travel. Wow. And they ended up, the human smugglers, everyone, they moved them up to Ciudad Acuña. Now, Ciudad Acuña is one of the few border towns that's actually not like controlled by a cartel smuggling group. So meaning, that's why in those videos, you're able to see the Haitians walk that river back and forth, bring supplies, because they didn't have to pay. If they did, once they cross that one time, it's done. And that's why when we're with the Haitians, you don't find the wristbands at all.
Well, tell us about, pull out the wristbands and let's actually go through it this time and just tell us about what they are, what they mean. So, Jorge's got a bunch of these wristbands. These are human smugglers. Put these on people, on kids.
I want
kids.
You to at least keep these, Tim. It's good to,
That's kind of scary. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, so these are the, so this is what, kind of our reporting has showed is that these Central Americans have to pay a human smuggling group, a cartel group to cross, the Rio Grande River. And the different color wristbands means there's different human smuggling groups. So here we have red ones, we have some black ones, and we have some purple ones. The majority of these ones say entregas, which means delivered. That means the product has already been delivered. So either if they haven't paid the full payment, then they become indentured servants on our side, but they also have to pay for the kids. Yeah, these are, it's insane to see it in person because, I mean, literally.
They're like, pull it straight so people can read what it says.
Yeah, like, I mean, like literally, literally last night, guys, we were interviewing migrants coming from Nicaragua that were human smuggled right in front of us. We have the video. It's up on Twitter and, we got to collect these from the migrants. The reason that I keep getting asked, like, why do you collect them? Is like, we're trying to show.
These are numbered, people, dude. These have serial numbers.
Yeah. Like. And it's different. Like, it's different, you know, for me just telling you, like, hey, this is what's going on. And then when you see it in person, you're like, whoa, wait.
This is a mechanized industry. Oh, there is a serial number on these bands.
Yep. Well organized.
4,186.
4488.
And then like last night, like the little kids would have them on their ankles. 1247. And it's crazy how they treat these people. And like I said, last night there was a moment where one of the males from Nicaragua had his little boy and you could just tell he was not the father. I mean, he was manhandling this kid like a product. And when we had the cameras filming him, he was frantic trying to like hide behind a National Guardsman. And the crazy thing too, Tim, is being there in person is, so, you know, on the Mexican side, we're witnessing the raft come with the kids. I mean, we're talking about babies in these boats that could drown. I mean, it's like one of the saddest scenes when they get dropped off on the American side and seeing that struggle. But so what they come from the Mexican side. On the American side is a National Guard with flashlights directing them to come here. So then they'll literally drop them off right in front of the National Guard. And sometimes the National Guard goes in and assists them. And then, so we asked them, like, you know, how come you guys don't pursue the human smugglers? According to them, they say they don't arrest the human smugglers because their worry is that when they go to arrest them, that they'll flip over the raft. So then the kids would drown and then all the attention goes to the kids. But I just can't believe this. Like, it's just happened so brazen. Yeah. So it doesn't even matter. We could have every single National Guard from every single state be there, but they're literally doing nothing. I mean, and then they have like M16s that don't even have, they're not even loaded.
Dude, migration has been the downfall of a lot of nations over the
millennia. Look at Sweden right now. They're struggling massively with having all these huge influx of
Afghans. I actually don't think that's true. A lot of the problems that Sweden's facing has to do with 20 years ago. So when the Somali refugees, and it's not even the refugees, it's their kids who are because Sweden is so overwhelmingly racist. What they did was in the 90s they brought in a bunch of Somali refugees. Those refugees then had children who are 100% Somali, but born in Sweden, speaking Swedish. And then because Swedes are so racist, they were like, we're not going to give you jobs or education. So you basically created create ghettos. And then these people who are from Sweden aren't viewed as Somali by their, you know, family in Somalia. And they're not viewed as Swedish by people in Sweden. So they form pocket communities, effectively viewing themselves outside the state. So that's Sweden's issue. And I of all the people to talk about social justice or whatever, now Sweden's legit racist. Like, they will not give you a job if you do not conform. And we talked to a bunch of Americans who said the same thing. So it's maybe racist isn't the right word. Maybe they're like
homogenous, like
nationalist.
Yeah.
Like, if you are not discernibly Swedish in accent and color, they won't hire you. It becomes very, very difficult. But they will create ghetto subsidized housing. I mean, like literal ghetto, not, you know, subsidized housing blocks where they'll put you and then be terrified when violence breaks out. So it is a bit different, you know, in Sweden.
Yeah. Going back to the Roman Empire, basically part of the downfall of that was all the mass migration from the north because the Huns were coming from the east and it's just, you know, just spilled over. And then you'd see in desperate times, there'd be these huge, like civilizations would be migrating and the Romans would go murder them all.
because they couldn't handle it. It was like, if they come, we lose. So they would, so like, this is a horrible dystopic future that could happen if we don't somehow solve this.
Yo, it's happened. It's happened.
Well, we have technology, we have like long range communication now.
1.4, 1.5 million apprehensions this year, not counting the people who right. break through without being caught. It's unprecedented. This is, you know, people say, I'm doomer, I'm black-pilled, we shouldn't be, we're going to win. I'm like, you didn't understand something. Freedom may win, but not before the system around us falls apart. So where you are, things might actually start getting, I mean, it's bad right now, right? But I don't think the United States survives everything that's happening. From the mandates, from the breakdown between states, the social cohesion, to the mass migration. It's just, I don't see the republic as it stands surviving this. Now, as for us as individuals and our culture, I think it's going to be a good for a lot. Like, Texas is going to do better. Florida will do better. West Virginia will do better. New Hampshire will do better. New York and California, I suspect, will do worse. But maybe those people will enjoy it and they'll be happy with it.
Tim, did you see Sarah Silverman come out and was like, oh, we need to split it to like USA 1 and USA 2.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's not about we need to. It's that the sentiment is there. And I think we're on that track no matter what we want to do.
Yeah, because we have two different populations in America. We have the, I listen to everything the government tells me. And then we have the, hey, stay out of our lives. We still want to keep that old school American style. So we're seeing that split. But what's actually also interesting on the immigration is Chile this past week was actually holding protests against the Venezuelan migrants that are coming into their country. So we're seeing kind of that kind of play out in South America as well. But as of right now, we're getting reports that more Haitians are making the trek to the U.S. Mexican border.
Yeah. And, well, it was fun, huh?
Yeah.
That's hey, black the Soviets. That's black pill.
Soviets only.
Yeah, that's a black pill. Yeah.
While he's holding a literal black pill.
Yeah, it's Ian's obsidian. Yeah. Soviet Union only lasted 69 years. The United States, we got, you know, 200 and about 270 almost, 260 something. Right? Is that what we're at?
Yeah, and just letting in this huge migration isn't good. I mean, and then we're also seeing with all the kind of the Afghan immigrants that we just brought, I mean, refugees we just brought in, there are already reports of some sexual assault in some of the military camps that they're staying at. We just have to vet these people. I was speaking to Border Patrol agents. They're saying it's impossible to vet these migrants at the pace that they are. It's like, it takes such a long time. They're like, there's no way we know anything about these people, especially the gotaways. That's actually the real scary number.
When you look, so there's a lot of stuff we talk about when we say like the republic is falling or whatever. Joe Biden's rule by decree, separation of powers are completely gone. The states are so far at odds with each other. There's no compromise. The Democrats are like, get rid of the filibuster and ram through our agenda in the face of Republicans instead of just take care of your own states. Why should New York ram through an agenda for West Virginia? It makes no sense. But what are we hearing in response? Conservatives being like, if we get the House back, we're going to impeach Biden. And you know, I respect that. They should. But they're like, you know, we'll get rid of the filibuster, then we'll ram through stuff. And it's like, bro, the only track we're on is it breaks apart. But when you mention the National Guard is just fanning these people in and being like, well, there's not much we can do. It's right. Like, dude, when your border can't guard its border and people can walk back and forth for takeout, you have no border. And if you have no border, you have no country.
It's honestly a joke, Tim, how, you know, just watching like them go back and forth, then, you know, seeing the National Guard. I'm like, what are we doing to it? And there's like literally no enforcement. And the cartels continue to win. The establishment politicians that push these policies continue to win. And I just don't know how long we could sustain this. I think we're on pace right now for 2 million apprehensions at the U.S. southern border, still not counting those gotaways that get in. We have these large family units that we don't know if they're family units getting processed into the United States, getting flown all over the country. I just flew today from the McAllen Airport to Dallas, and on my flight, I mean, the majority was Central American migrants
holding those little folders,
holding with the folders that say, wow, I don't speak any English, can you help me with my next flight? And then on the other side, it has all the like where they're stopping. So say like McAllen to Houston to New York, or McAllen Houston to New Jersey, whatever. So they're being flown all over. So are the Haitians. Like I said, the majority of Haitians that I interviewed are going to Florida, but still they're getting flown all over, and there's no track. There's no way to track these migrants. And another thing is there's no way to make sure that they even go to that court order. I was speaking to Border Patrol sources. They say only 13% of the time they even go to that court order. So it's, they already said, we essentially just already let them loose. And then when you speak to the Haitians, like, hey, are you going to go to your court order? They're like, what? I live here now. Yeah. So they look at me like I'm crazy. So that's the situation that we have a hand in. Supposedly we're still going through a pandemic, yet we're releasing thousands of folks who are not tested for COVID-19.
Who was it? Peter Ducey, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
The journalist?
Yeah, Peter Ducey.
Yeah, he asks Saki, are you testing these people for COVID when they cross the border? And she's like, no.
Yeah, she's like, oh, we're not testing them because they don't plan to stay here long. I'm like, well,
unlike
that's the opposite.
Tourists.
Yeah, I'm like, that's the opposite we're seeing on the ground. The thing is, when they get a court order, these migrants, that court order could take up to even 3 years for them even to have a date.
What is the red bracelet?
These are just, like I said, it's like every color is a different migrant or smuggling group. So last night we were running into the same group with all these black bracelets, and the majority of the migrants that we spoke to last night were coming from Nicaragua. We did meet two from Cuba, which I was pretty shocked, but every time that we're down there, we want to show these people that, or show the American audience, like, look what's going on at an alarming rate. And the thing is, it's like the national attention from the border, it like the spotlight moved as soon as the Haitians got cleared out of the bridge. Like, we were there, all the mainstream media left and they were done, and I was like, you know what, let's continue to show people what, you know, what's going on, and I'll be back in Texas pretty soon. But this situation, like I said, it rolls out not just, you know, Texas, but like how, you know, Sonic and I being in California, seeing those migrants being forced to work those grow ops, and it's happened all across California and in different states as well.
You were saying in ancient Rome they were dealing with a migration crisis.
Yeah, the Huns came from the east, and tons of civilizations fled into like northeast Rome. I mean, is that basically the fall of the empire? Is a big part of it. Yeah.
There was also wasn't there like a credit crunch?
I don't know. I know in Greece there was. I don't know if in ancient Rome there was.
It does feel though like China is laughing at us, seeing this huge demise and kind of everything you were saying too, Tim, with like the state powers and stuff. But it's also that our elites in this country are not even loyal to this country. They have already aligned themselves with China, whether it's big business, whether it's entertainers or politicians. They've all decided that they have aligned themselves with, you know, the Chinese Communist
Maybe
Party.
2008 was the iceberg. And since then, the elites have been like, well, we got 20 years. Start collecting that silverware to sell off. And they hit up China and say, look, our ship's sinking. We want a place, we want a safe landing. So we'll give you all the good, fine China from the boat. That's what we're facing.
Look at the whole situation with John Cena. You know, he came out and said something about positive, or I think he like recognized Taiwan. And then within 2 days, he's already making his video in Mandarin apologizing to the Chinese people. Like, but that's all the American companies do the same thing, is they'll bow down their head to China. That's why I love South Park when they continue to troll China and Jing and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, like I said, our elites, our politicians have all aligned with them, and you know, they're not loyal to this country. I mean, we've already been seeing this, you know, in the NAFTA and the trade deals when we shipped all of our manufacturing jobs to China, and you know, we saw states like Michigan and Ohio, and Pennsylvania lose all that manufacturing jobs, and we saw all those basically, you know, huge unemployment in men that, you know, we're used to, I'm talking about like single income family men, now have no jobs because those manufacturing jobs got shipped. Either now we're seeing on the southern border all the fentanyl and opioids getting pushed into those same communities.
It's a bit apocalyptic, I guess.
Black,
you know, pill. I think in the long run, I mean, humanity is going to be fine. But for a lot of people, I think they view America as the world. And so the way I see it is like, you know, look, if in the end, West Virginia, Texas, New Hampshire, Florida, Wyoming, whatever, red state, says we're going to do our own thing, is that really the end of the world? Is it really bad?
I don't know.
No, definitely not. Take a look at the Sea Peoples, another group of migrants, 1200 BC or something, that came from the north, and no one knows why, but they overran Mesopotamia. And it was the end of like civilization as it was known. And then like small dark age, and then you start to see like the resurgence. But that's just the nature of reality, is tragedy and migration. I don't know. We have great technology, you know, long range electricity, well, long range communication electricity. So maybe we can use the American ideals and rewrite like a more organized system for the globe. I think it's beyond nationalism at this point. Obviously, these borders don't really matter anymore.
But it's also it's a huge cultural problem, because these people are not going to assimilate. And if they're working low wage, low skilled jobs, they're most likely going to get on some type of welfare that then after that, the American taxpayer has to pick up that bill.
Not only that, like, let's say if someone's whole ideology is not aligned towards, you know, protecting protecting what America is based on and stuff like that. And like, they go towards empathizing more with these migrants. So like, think about I would appeal to them, like, think about what they have to go through, right? Because, like, when we were talking to all these people in the deserts, they were like, we watch these people run these marijuana camps, all these illegal immigrants. They do not look happy. They have to work in, like, 100 degrees out in the open, running these pot farms, being forced to do so. If they don't abide by these rules,
they get killed.
Cartel will kill them. So if you are, like, just... like, as, like, let's say you're like a full-on progressive and you're all about immigration and all about letting people in, like, just think about what conditions these people have to go through. And
but
the fact that
Sonic, they don't, because this is impacting black and brown people at a record number, and they're nowhere to be found. Not one progressive has even came down to the border and says, look at these conditions, look at these facilities that are overpopulated by
crammed,
over 500%. Some of these facilities, like I said, some of these pods are only made for 8 people. They got 400 people in there. Even NBC News is reporting that they're getting sexually assaulted. Where is that outrage? Only when they need votes, they come speak up. But that's it.
Yeah, otherwise it's a conspiracy.
Like, look at the photos and, like, that came from, like, the Haiti situation. Like, those photos were, like, horrible to look at.
Yeah.
Like, if like, let's say you have, like, no empathy whatsoever to, like the American ideal and protecting populism and all that stuff. Like, just empathize with these people. Like, this whole situation at the end of the day was created by these policies, and these attracted these people, and they were, like, all starry-eyed and, let's say, a little exploitive, like, let's take advantage of it. And now they're going through this whole mess. Like, as a super progressive person, like, I'm pretty sure this is not what you wanted, to see all these people, like, go through all this mess.
Yeah, I'm interested now in the 2024 race, because immigration is going to become, again, a top issue. A lot of Democratic voters that I'm speaking to every day, the immigration issue is getting them to switch. They said, okay, hold on. And that's why Biden's approval rating just kept dipping. And then we were speaking to some of DHA sources who they told us the Biden administration was taking such a political blowback on the Haitian migration. They said by Friday, all those Haitian migrants need to be off the bridge and port of entry open. We're going to act like nothing ever happened.
But I don't think Democrats can survive politically.
No, this is a huge blowback.
I mean, you got a year, basically an eternity, so we'll see what happens. But Biden's approval rating's in the gutter.
Yeah.
The honeymoon period's over. People are starting to wake up to the fact that this guy's out of his gourd and he can't run or manage anything. I think Joe Biden's presidency was literally a steal all the silverware before the people find out what your plan is. So it's like South Park. Remember that South Park episode from 2000? I think it was 2008. Obama and McCain run for president. And the real point was a heist. They needed to get access to the White House, so it was like he was like Ocean's 11 or whatever.
Yeah, it was like through child. Like, whoa.
That's what it is. Joe Biden was like, once I become president, I can extract as much as I can from the system before it implodes.
And Kamala Harris has also taken a huge hit on her popularity because she basically got assigned Border Czar,
yeah.
And she's been taking a hit. And according to some of these White House sources who have came out and are talking, they're saying Kamala Harris doesn't want to visit the border because she doesn't even want to take the blame anymore, and she kind of felt like they put her in that position. But she's taking a huge hit. Biden is taking a huge hit because on this one issue, you could get those Latino Democratic voters to say, hold on, this is our people now. I'm not voting for this again. So we'll see. And then all those, you know, and the data backs it up, because if you look at the Texas border towns, they're all 80% majority Latino. In 2016, all those border towns voted overwhelmingly for Clinton. I mean, they're Democrat. Then 2020, Trump won all those counties by the border. And you're seeing those working class Latinos finally say, this is enough is enough. It's impacting our local communities. I put the video out on Twitter where I interviewed Latino working class in Del Rio, and they were just livid at the Haitian migration situation. I mean, I was speaking to one resident whose brother is a veteran. He said that when his brother needed to go to the hospital, they were full of migrants. They could not help him out.
Next year is going to shock. I think it's fair to say. If the trends continue with the border of Texas Miami, a blue district going red, I mean, Democrats might be shocked. Historically, a president doing this bad should lose 30 to 50 seats.
The border wasn't even this bad under Obama. I mean, and the thing is, when we were covering the border crisis in the beginning, I kept thinking, oh, it can't get worse than this. Then the numbers continue to get worse. Like I said, July and August, first back-to-back months, over 200,000 apprehensions. We're already over 1 million. I think by the same rate last year, we're already at a 500% increase in apprehensions. This is nothing like we've ever seen before. I speak to Border Patrol, they're overwhelmed. And now they also, not only are they overwhelmed with the situation, they're not getting any help from the administration. And then to top it off, they're now being attacked politically by that administration with these fake viral photos of them getting whipped.
Yeah.
And what I love about that story is the photographer for that, 2 days ago told El Paso KTSM, which is, you know, local news station, that him and his colleagues didn't see any whipping at all. Yep. Yet the Biden administration ran with it. Jen Psaki came out and announced that the Biden administration is going to ban horse patrol in the Del Rio sector. And those agents that day are put on leave.
All lies. Let's go to Super Chats. See what the audience has to say. If you haven't already, smash that like button. Become a member at TimCast.com for that member segment coming up. And don't forget, it's not just about that one segment. We got a huge library. You can click that little magnifying glass symbol, search for any name you want. Boom. There's all of the crazy segments from over the past year or so since January. So definitely want to check that out. All right, let's see. We got Nikolai says, hey, Tim, would love to see Dave Smith and Hassan on the next little debate you have on TimCast. Also, a woman at UPenn worked there for 20 years and got fired for not taking the vaccine. Dave Smith and Hassan debate would be amazing. They're both invited. There you go. There's the word. I'm pretty sure Dave would absolutely be on board. Hassan, I can respect as a very busy guy, but I'd love to have him. So if they're interested, we should totally do it. All right. Michael Fernando Mello says, great show, TimCast's crew. Heard of this? Augustin Karstens, GM of the BIS. A key difference with the CBDC is a central bank will have absolute control of the rules and regulations. Bad vibes. I'm not familiar with what those things are.
BIS is Bank of International Settlements, which is kind of the mother central bank of all the central banks on earth. Not all of them, but a big one in Switzerland. And that kind of, you see the Federal Reserve of New York, of Bank of England, and the Bank of Australia funnel their funds through the Bank of International Settlements with no oversight.
Boom.
Martin says, a great doctor once told me that the wisdom comes from the nurses. They know what's up. Many doctors are glorified search engines, no actual authority. Interesting.
That's correct. Interesting.
Is that true?
That is actually correct. So many human errors have been caught by nurses. So many lives have been saved because of it. They catch the doctors. They're up to date with the patients.
All right. Jamie Goodberry says, is it New York City or New York? There is an unbelievable difference, and upstate hates the city.
Huh.
That's true. They're, you know, they're in it. That's the state. I mean, yeah. Like, what do you do? Should the city secede from the state? They'd collapse in 2 seconds. All right. Jonathan Galtarini says, for George, Eddie Guerrero was my first hero, LOL.
Latino heat. Always got to represent.
Love it.
Make 1984 Fiction Again says, Hassan has never added any substance to any subject. Him having as many followers as he does is a bigger threat than any virus. Dave Smith tore him up today. It was heavyweight versus welterweight. Wow, was there a debate or something?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I got to check
on
the
where? Tour. Like on Twitch or something?
Hassan's been saying he wants to bridge the gap politically. So.
Oh, that's ironic.
Well, that's like, because anyone that disagrees with him is an automatic white supremacist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's, yo, if someone comes out and says, I have an issue about X, and then you go, haha, well, why? I'm like, bro. Quiet.
That was the same playbook. What's his face? Carlos Maza ran on Twitter all the time.
Carlos.
Good old Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to him? I don't know.
Dipped out. He was in the spotlight for about
four
months.
I know, like the whole Stephen Carlos situation. And then it was just gone.
Yeah. Roberto Lara says, two things, Tim. One, the cult is afraid of the unvax and the anti-mandators. And two, we as humans will never be perfect. The only ones who are perfect are our pets who look up to us. Cheers, gang.
Love that.
I mean, sort of. Bucko wholesome. Is just like pissing all over the joint.
My pet is perfect.
So we had to just let him go outside and, you know, let him do his cat stuff. From perfect.
Pee everywhere.
He's been much happier since we took that big jacket off of him. He started crawling up on me now. Yeah.
He's not happier.
He's happier with me. I think he knows that I'm the one that pushed
it. He loved that thing. He loved it. He would get.
It was filthy though. It was a couple weeks that we hadn't watched.
Ian just has this weird idea that the cat.
I kept thinking he was going to slip out of a branch and get hung, like hanging out of a tree.
No, that's graphic.
Now he's wearing a bell that jingles.
You can hear him coming,
and he hates it. That's why he liked the armor. We had this
silent
thick leather cat armor. And he's outside or whatever.
I was curling up outside my room.
SERP YouTube says, Ian, there's an interview with Adam Stokes called The Most Wanted Man in Crypto. Check it out. Think you will find it interesting.
Thank you.
Cool. Bonker says, sometimes I hate legal precedent because they'll say, oh, there is precedent, but it was unconstitutional the first time. We just didn't fight it like we should have.
Huh.
And thus is the slow erosion of our rights.
Yep.
Sel Rin says, my college requires a test every 14 days for the vax and every 4 if you don't.
Thanks.
It's free. At least, but you can't come to class without it. You also have to fill out a survey every day to get into buildings. I would just be like, nah, I ain't doing it. And then they'd be like, you're expelled. And I'd be like, okay. There you go. Camel of the Mojave says the war on terror is coming home and these people need to justify their budgets.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Brokages over Hokages says, I've been told by my boss, since I'm a private contractor, I may need to get the vaccine. Since my dad is the owner, I will tell him that I quit if I'm required. Wait. Okay.
Wait,
your boss?
Is he your dad?
No. I'm think confused. His boss is not his dad. Okay. His dad owns it, but he has someone. He
got it.
That'd
be awesome.
Gabriel Martinez says, I bet Tim is vaccinated. Everybody ask if he is. And I will respond with, when was the last time you had sex with your wife?
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Tom Carlton.
Yeah, I think my position is strictly, you go to your doctor. You talk about what's right for you.
And go
it's nobody else's business.
Yep.
One of the biggest problems I have with the mandate is that there could be someone who's got like a weird medical issue. It's embarrassing. And then you go to the restaurant with your friends and they're like, where's your vax card? And then you got to be like, I'd like to publicly announce all my friends that I have a very embarrassing condition.
That's right.
Yeah. Right. Nah, it's not anybody's business.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Let's see. Nick S says, Tim, I know you're joking, but please stop talking about how rich you are. Even in jest, becoming a little ridiculous. You see, the point of it is not a single actual leftist rich person will come out and ever admit that they're exempt from all of this.
True.
So how do you get a regular working class person who's not paying attention to wake up? Okay, tell them straight up. Yo, if you're rich in this country, if you're rich in this world, you are 100% exempt from everything. So there's that meme that goes around. If the penalty for a crime is a fine, it's only illegal for the lower class.
True,
but there
yeah.
are some countries that do speeding tickets by percentage of your income, so that's brutal.
That is brutal, yeah.
Like some rich dude driving down in, you know, the road, and he gets pulled over, and he's like, all right, let's see, that'll be a $100,000 ticket. The guy's like, oh, that's bad. Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, but in the U.S., I used to live in Wrigleyville near Cubs Field, Wrigley Field. People would just park illegally, blocking my driveway, like my apartment or whatever. Because they were like, we don't care.
Yeah.
It's $100. $100 ticket, cheaper than parking. So they would just say whatever. Maybe parked, like double parked to the side. Don't care. They're not going to tow. They can't tow everybody. So people just park. They probably still do it.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Speed says, hello, please tell Ian that there are both vented and unvented N95 masks. Mm-hmm. Also, have Ian check out heirloom wheat, like Anson Mills. Thanks for doing what you do, Tim. All right. There you go.
Thank you.
T-Baz says, F yeah, that rant is worth my first super chat. See, some people liked the, you know, yelling at people because they're letting the rich get away with all this stuff.
That's good.
It's worth yelling.
The Plague Doctor says, we don't get the vaccine because we see it's not effective. And how many people have had horrible reactions? It damaged my heart. And since I can't get the booster shot, I am losing my career. F them. Wait, are they mandating the booster for
no,
you?
No, we haven't seen yet. Yeah.
Just for old, elderly people.
It's over 65 and up on the booster.
Yeah.
Yeah, FDA didn't approve it for everyone yet.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
be careful. We may be manifesting a dystopian future if we talk about that.
It's already here.
It's already here.
I don't think so. The future is never here, you know? This is the present.
I think we talked about with Luke Freedomistan. Did we talk about that on the show?
Did we?
Last week?
No, a while ago. Yeah, Freedom Stan. It means like Freedom City, Stan means city. So I think we talked about it like a member segment a year ago. Well, not a year ago, like back in February when Luke was here, where we were like, why don't we just get a big plot of acreage in the middle of nowhere that's like really cheap and then just start like building stuff on it. We're doing it. We did it. Apparently there's some like very wealthy investors that want to get involved and I'm like, I don't want to do that now. We're going to have this place and it's, you know, just big open acreage, Freedomistan,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
Freedom City. That's basically what it means.
I'm going to build a solar road and show you that it works.
Do it.
Okay, Ian, raise the funds for a solar road.
Ian's going to be the mayor of Freedomistan. Yeah.
Now, what does make sense for a solar road is shielding the road with something above it. With solar panels around it, and then it prevents some weathering on the road, keeps them dry so you don't got to salt and you don't got to sand and stuff like that, stops wear and tear, then you got to focus on the solar panels above it. So you'd be basically building a scaffold over huge swaths of road. So I read stuff about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's one of those in Asia somewhere I was looking at.
Yeah, well, like the whole thing is covered with solar panels. It protects the road.
Yeah, it has to be protected.
But then you got to maintain the solar panels on top. So, all right. Jillian says, Tim, you need an app for your website. I hate supporting YouTube to watch this on my mobile. Yes, we are in the process. It's not easy. So, you know, can only do so much work with so many people. Trek God says, you are only safe when you are free. I agree. Absolutely.
Oh, I was thinking the whole point of cities is kind of safety. Since the beginning of time, humans came together fleeing from big bears, and they formed these little villages to protect themselves.
Ian, you just solved one of my main questions, which is why these big cities always turn so darn blue. And I'm willing to bet that it's because it's more important to them to have security than to have freedom.
Yep. Oh.
Interesting. Ah, nailed it.
When you live out in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia, we got a Facebook group, and they're like, "Hey guys, saw a bear down at the, you know, at the turn," and then people are like, "Got it," and they just go out with their guns.
Sheesh.
You know, you don't got to worry about it, or an air horn, scare them away. Katie says, "Hey Tim and crew, thanks for doing all the work you do, even to y'all we can't see or hear. Do you guys have any advice on starting a website and your own server?"
I was reading about vented face masks. So starting a website and a server for the Fediverse project we're working on, Open Network Foundation is the name of the company, the charity that we have just started, and that's how we're going to be doing it. Yeah, sure, why not? What do you have in mind?
So she was asking how to do it.
How to start a server and a website?
Just how do you start a server and a website?
The server thing I'm not too familiar with. I mean, to start a website...
Squarespace.
Yeah, Squarespace, GoDaddy.com, Porkbun.com. But, I mean, someone else is going to be hosting it for you. Wix, so if you want to host it locally, you'll have to do it, you know, on like hard drives. Raspberry Pis. You can set up servers on Raspberry Pis at your house and do it through that.
All right. Well, once we have the Fediverse project up and running where people can have their own independent websites that sync in all this stuff, it's going to be groundbreaking.
Yeah, we could build Raspberry Pis with preloaded software that we could sell.
Hey, look at this. Oh, that's a good idea. Wooden says, you can walk across the George Washington Bridge from New York State to go to New Jersey State. Thank you, Tim. Hey, there you go.
There you go.
That.
Answered.
All right. Damon Bullock says, Tim, my sister is a medical worker in Central North Carolina. She got her religious exemption, and a lot of her coworkers didn't. They quit principles over career. Bravo.
Wow. I wonder why she got it and the others didn't.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Steven Taylor says, much love from Utah. First time Super Chat. Going to miss the show during the elk hunt.
Oh. Have fun.
Well, just record it, play it back later or whatever.
TiVo it, yeah.
Yeah, TiVo.
Yeah.
Jared D says, Ian and Alex Jones vlog adventure.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys see the Cast Castle episode with little Ian Alex Jones animation at the beginning?
There's
a mushroom that was I highly recommend going and watching the Cast
Castle. That the one from after Alex was here?
Yeah, it's clipped our voices from the show and it's in the cartoon.
Awesome. That's cool.
We have one of the vlog episodes is behind the scenes with Alex Jones and it's getting like tons of views.
He's such an amazing man.
YouTube.com/Cast Castle and okay. We're ramping up the Cast Castle production, the events. We wanted to book an event. We've been struggling to do events because there are like legal restrictions on what you can do with certain zoned properties and things like that. And so we thought we had solved it all and then we didn't. And we're like, maybe we can do a small private friend, what's, I'm so old. I don't remember, not a party, but what's
soiree?
No.
Shindig. Is that
shindig?
Yeah. No, there was a word for like, it's not a party. It's smaller than that.
Social gathering.
A dotty?
I suppose. No, but like maybe like, you know, we had some people we were booking and then just, dude, venues don't want to book.
Dinner?
Yeah, it's hard. You know, you got to book it way in advance and then some businesses just don't care anymore.
Right.
Business is too slow. They're just like, I don't care. So we're like, we'll have to build our own. We're going to build our own. Freedomistan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a ring to it.
And we're going to have a big stage and we're going to do events. It's going to be epic. It's going to be really
excited
really
for
awesome.
The underground, what we're going to build underground.
Yeah.
Six stories down with shipping containers.
Ian wants to build a catacombs. He wants to build miles upon miles of maze-like structures full of human bones.
I saw a picture of a friend in the French catacombs. There's like a statue of a guy coming out of the wall in the catacombs.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually cool. I posted that. Yeah.
That's creepy.
So cool. Props to that guy.
Nathaniel Hebe says, my wife cares about this Gabby whatever. It's the conspiracy and family drama she likes. Oh, this might be anecdotal. It's Real House Murder of Camping USA. Yeah, it's true crime. Yeah, people love true crime.
So weird that like all crime is true because it happened. So like this whole, there's a genre called true crime. I don't get it. That's just like reality TV crime or something.
I enjoy watching the interrogations. Like
yes,
that to me is like
my husband
fascinating.
Likes.
So I watch those like, I can stay up all night just watching those. So interrogation videos are great.
Somebody was saying that guys like the interrogation and women like the drama of being a victim, which was super interesting to me.
Boy, I'm not that's sure about a that.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We got a new show coming out, hopefully this week. We're going to be having Shane Cashman on the show Friday to talk about mysteries and true crime and paranormal.
That's awesome. So true crime, what exactly does it mean? It's unsolved? Is that what it is?
It's like kind of like
those, personal.
No, it's like true crime.
True crime.
What you said, like there's a genre called true crime because like in TV, you also see your, you know, fictional crime.
NCIS.
So like Sherlock Holmes.
So like the O.J. Simpson trial.
People love Law and Order, yeah. Right? So imagine, you know, you like turn on a podcast and then you hear like this creepy music. And then a voice goes, the year was 1953, December 1st. A 17-year-old boy walks into a bodega in New York.
Oh, I'm hooked. I'm watching this.
He reaches for a bag of potato chips and takes it without paying. This is the story of the stolen potato chips. And then you hear like a, and then like you'll hear the intro, and then there'll be a woman being like, I don't know why he took the chips. Why did he take them? You know, and then it's like 2 hours long, and then they're like, he spent 50 years in prison, and then you're like, whoa. And then it turns out he didn't actually do it. It was a seagull the whole time.
Exciting.
But they caught the seagull, and the seagull got the death penalty.
Amazing.
That's not really what true crime is.
He's like, okay.
Did he sell it to you?
This is my jam.
He sold it to you? Yeah.
We should maybe do a parody true crime like that.
Unsolved Mysteries was one of my favorite shows growing up.
The seagull stole the chips the whole time.
Still at large.
My son went to prison because of that seagull!
Yes. All right.
You get those pictures of the seagulls like dive bombing the ice cream cones and the people like losing.
What a villain.
Yeah,
he came all the way from London. Seagull, the annoying one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now that we're past that
distraction,
Candace Scalf says, "I love you, Ian." LOL. That's it. That's the chat.
Nice.
Thanks, Candace.
Yeah,
I agree. That's a tweet.
But if that was it, what's the point of the rest of that? You know, it makes me wonder if she's being serious when she says, "I love Ian."
You never know.
I never take it personally.
Yeah. The women love Ian, man.
It's true, yeah.
That's
all,
love.
We're all humans. Yeah. Humans first.
All right.
The Roz Rodriguez says, I work at the Texas border with the unaccompanied alien children that are crossing. The average of children apprehended is over 400 a day.
Yep.
Sheesh.
Wow, man.
And then are they just released?
Yeah, I think I was reading numbers that it's like over 400 a day and around 570 get released into the United States every day, which according to the New York Times, one out of those three migrant children are going to get lost in the system.
Wow.
Right. So compassionate.
Eric Allen says, I thought that college students were supposed to be idealistic and willing to buck the system. Maybe it just comes and goes in waves, you know?
No, they rage for the system now.
Yeah. That's cool now.
Master Gamer says, Tim, would it be better to protest by not voting at all to show any hidden motives the Democrats would reveal? Messed up my first super chat. Well, there's an interesting argument. I say stand up for what you believe in. Don't just give in and let them sweep through. But there's a lot of, I guess, I don't know what the right word is how you describe these people. But there's a lot of people on the right who are like, it would be better if the Democrats win a sweeping supermajority across the board, because then it would force all the Republicans in the country to snap into some kind of action and then cause some kind of divorce or civil war or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or that would happen, but a lot of people are like, you know, when Trump comes out and says, it's rigged, what's the point? And then people are like, I don't care, I'm not going to vote. I mean, it's true. If the Democrats control literally everything, independent voters and Republicans are going to just recoil, and then there would be a huge snapback.
So maybe if we're lucky, there would be a snapback.
I mean, yeah, we kind of saw the emergence of the Tea Party after Obama. We don't know if we need another one again. We'll see. Hmm.
Jason Cisnero says, the company next to my company's office requires all employees to be vaccinated and tested daily.
Poof. Wow. That's horrible. Jeez. Daily?
Yikes.
Daily. Like that thing up your nose every day?
Ugh.
Wow.
Hana Magi says, Tim, it wasn't just on TikTok. A lot of Gabby Petito's friends in the Northport area were really pushing it hard on Facebook and the local news, ABC7, NBC2, Wink, Florida. I'll show you in a message on Twitter if you'd like. Oh, interesting. Anno says, America is going to collapse so bad, and it's going to be hell in this country with all these people, cartels, gangs, and the culture war BS. All this is done on purpose in the name of population control. I'm not entirely convinced, but I think, you know, certainly the climate change people have straight up said the best thing you can do for the environment is not have kids. So there's certainly that element. I think it's funny. Somebody chatted saying, like, if Tim thinks he'll get out of this unscathed, ha. It's like, when have I ever said that? I'm like, no, it's going to get bad. That's why I'm buying beans. Yeah. That's why we have emergency beans, because I'm pretty sure it's going to suck for everyone. But you know what? I got chickens. We have 15 chickens now. You know why?
Woo.
A lot of people don't understand this. But if you buy chickens and put them in the same place for an extended period,
oh my, die.
One day it'll come out, more chickens. Just like that. It's weird, isn't it?
Beautiful.
A lot of eggs, man. Do you just feed them grass and just eat a lot of eggs?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's incredible.
Technically, you know, like you can, chickens just live. So as long as you can protect them with enough space, they will eat bugs all day and then they'll have babies. Mm-hmm. But if you give them feed, they'll have babies faster.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know?
Yeah, our chickens are fat and happy.
Oh, yeah.
And so we have 8 babies from the original. We had 6, then we adopted another one, so we had 7. And then they had a bunch of babies. And Dorothy, the adopted chicken, is brooding. So she's all, like, puffed up and wide and, like, with a weird look on her face, sitting on the eggs. Here's the problem, though. She's been sitting on the eggs for a few weeks, and nothing's happened. Mm. And I'm like, these eggs, you know, this happens. They may be unfertilized or bad. And so what we may have to do is clear out the eggs, and she probably won't stop brooding. We'll have to then take the eggs and incubate them. Then when the babies are born, pick her up, put the baby underneath her, and then she like hears the peeping and goes like, whoa, and then doesn't realize we did all that.
That's what you do. Yeah.
We've been raising, we raised this, like, these 5 chicks in the green room. Where we play music, and one of them is singing. One of them sings. He picked it up last night, and it was like going,
woo! It's like a movie.
A unique sound that none of the other chickens make.
So we have 5 Black Star chicks. It's a Rhode Island Red Rooster with a Barred Plymouth Rock Hen. We have 2 girls. They're jet black. Like, that's what happens. The girls are black. The boys are barred, meaning they're white and black. And of the 3 boys, one of them has a chirp that is like I've not heard from any of the other chickens. So while the babies go beep beep beep, this one goes like.
He's like a songbird.
We're gonna breed him.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's the one we want to keep. We want to have, and then what we do is we get that when he grows up, he will, you know, fertilize all the other, you know, eggs.
Selecting.
And then once those eggs are born, we'll wait and listen to the ones that sing properly, and if they don't, we just get, you know, we cull them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like. I'm kidding.
Well, the orchestra.
But quite literally, that's what you. So we've had people on the show who have chickens, and we're like, "What do you do with the roosters when they're born? Like, you cull them."
Ugh.
Yeah, like at factories, they throw them in a grinder.
Sucks.
Because like you can't have roosters. So we have we have 5 male. We have 5 males now. We have 1 rooster, and then the babies, the cockerels. So we can maybe keep one of them. The Roberto's firstborn son is Roberto Jr. That's what we named him.
Roberto Jr.
Yeah, his name is Roberto Jr. And he looks like him, too.
It's a good name, yeah.
We nicknamed him Snaggletoe because his toe is bent the wrong way. It was like a birth defect. Yeah, it was a birth defect. But we call him, his name is Roberto Jr. And then we have the 2, so there was a girl was born from Margaret and Roberto, then from Katarina and Roberto, and then Margaret and Roberto. That's the order they were born in.
Okay.
And so the second born baby was Roberto's firstborn son.
I just bought Roberto a bunch Jr. of earplugs last night. I'm prepping for the move of Chicken City because it's going to be basically outside of my bedroom window.
Oh, boy. Good luck with that.
I'll let you guys know next time.
Yeah, good luck.
I'm real curious about that.
All right, let's read. We got Gus. He says, 170 employees. I work at Legacy Health in Portland, Oregon, and they just denied over 800 of us medical and religious exemptions. Thursday is last day. Wow.
That's going to be a big story.
That'll be huge.
Where is that again, Tim? What area?
Oregon.
Okay.
Oregon.
I'll try to read up on it.
Legacy Health in Portland.
Legacy Health. Okay.
Yep. 800 people. That's but how many are going to be like, okay, I guess I'll just get vaccinated.
Yep.
And then it'll end up being like 70 people fired.
Maybe.
Commander Trash Panda says, I'm a pharmacist at Novant. Last year we couldn't mask, talk about COVID, or we'd be fired. Now we have to or get fired. Uh-huh. Novant is ultra woke. Our admin brags about the leaders of being, about the leaders on vax mandates. Wow. Cody Wheeler says, everyone knows about the cartel grows in Cali, but nobody is talking about all the cartel grows that popped up in Southern Oregon. I work at a plant nursery in Klamath County, and earlier this year we had a $60,000 soil order. Well then.
Oh my.
Yeah, they're in Washington State, they're in Oregon.
Sketchy.
But they're like wreaking havoc in California because of that Prop 64 and that knocking down illegal cultivation from a misdemeanor to a felony.
Or felony.
This one's opposite.
Here's a good idea for you, Jorge. Beef Nasty says, you thought of making replicas of these bracelets to sell to spread awareness. Donate profits to stop this. Something I can physically show to family to spread the word because it might hit home stronger than just another story.
No, that's a fantastic idea. And that's why I even brought these here because I just want, it's a game changer when you see it in person. Yeah. It's real, but that's a fantastic idea, actually.
That's a great idea. I like that. Yeah.
These are dirty. There's dirt on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But make replicas and then, you know, sell them for $20 and have all the proceeds go towards
some like human trafficking organization or something like that.
No, like to anti-human trafficking organizations. You know,
right,
you
right. Oh, yeah, yeah. That, no, like, wait, wait.
Like, oh, yeah, I don't know why you'd want to support them. You walk up to the human traffickers, we raised all this money for you, and you're like, thanks. Bag of money.
Yeah, I could see it.
We all pitched in to help. You know, but maybe if you give one of these smugglers $1 million, he might quit and be like, I'm retiring.
Maybe. It's a money thing, right? Like, if they're doing it for desperation because they need money. A lot of the cartels, everything's all money, money,
it's all
money.
Money, money,
money. A lot of money.
Hayden says, everyone should read The Storm Before the Storm, The Beginning of the End of the Roman Republic by Mike Duncan.
Oh.
I believe cool. The immigration in Rome was during the collapse of the empire, not the republic. The republic collapse is more in line with us. Oh, so we're going to become the empire.
Is that check that out. God, I like that not. Title already. The Storm Before the Storm.
Is that what happened? The Republic collapsed and became an empire?
Yeah, the empire, Julius Caesar, you know, invaded the capital and took over, basically. And then, like, hundreds of years later, the empire started to crumble and all this migration from the Huns in, like, 500 AD or a little bit before that from the northeast.
Wow. Okay. Gotta check that one out. I gotta get on my, like, I gotta start reading about that stuff.
Reading? When you're not swimming with the Haitians?
Yeah.
Heath Hansen says, migration crisis, huge part of the collapse of Rome. The Huns caused a huge shift of barbarians that crossed borders in multiple waves that the empire struggled and eventually failed to manage.
Interesting.
Incredible. Kings and Generals YouTube channel. Look it up on them and watch fantastic documentaries about it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, listen to them.
Derek Elwell says, hey, Tim, I finally became a member last night.
Yes.
Is there any way to watch the members clip live? And if there isn't, will there be an option to soon? We record those. They're not live broadcast. The member segments we record and then upload. So they're
different.
Done differently, I guess. We are going to be having, so here's the plan. The new show we're launching probably this week. I think it's basically ready to go. We're just setting up the accounts now to make sure everything's in line and we have the domains and stuff. And then we're going to have Shane Cashman, who's the writer for the mystery show on Friday, talk about just a bunch of really cool stuff, true crime, murder mysteries. The goal, the point, the show is going to be, there's like a 15 to 20 minute show with full sound effects, music, when, you know, like I was explaining to Ian, but more seriously. So when you have, you know, Shane doing voiceover and he says, you know, I was walking down the street at night investigating and a car drives by, then you'll hear the actual car pan from left to right and all that cool sound effects. And then for the members content, we're going to have Shane hanging out with one of the members of the crew and potentially other guests talking about the story and other issues around it. So one of there's one thing we really hope to do with Alex Jones, if he's ever interested in, you know, and coming back on, which would be awesome, is to have Alex sit with Shane discussing one of his stories and conspiracies, because it'll be fascinating for Shane, who is actually he actually travels and does on the ground investigations. We're actually investigating a story about Confederate gold, to then hear, you know, Alex Jones talk about his knowledge of all these crazy stories and experiences would be fantastic. The other thing we want to do with Alex is just put Alex and Ian in a room and turn the camera on and we'll all leave and just
I'd watch that.
That'd be great. I feel like it's like it would be like when you turn a camera on and point it at a TV and then you get an endless like recursive loop of the
I'd watch that
screen
except
screen
you'll see
screen.
Images of Thomas Jefferson and the Illuminati and Ben Franklin like swirling around.
Ian and Alex talking would like create a hyper time spiral as you're watching it. Words would slowly become meaningless.
Be sucked in,
they'd be like shaking like crazy and there'd be light emerging from the center of the room and you'd be like, what's
Alex's
happening?
Dad was like, they wanted him to join basically they wanted to co-opt him into the deep state, but he wouldn't do it according to so his dad's like right on the precipice. He knew, you know, he saw a lot. And Alex listened to
believe,
it as a young man.
You know, I remember Alex said that. I think said it the first time he was on the show that
fact
you
check
know,
me on that.
They've tried to recruit him, but he doesn't want to do it. And I'm like,
that's one that we can't fact check.
I don't know if I believe that.
That's an anecdote.
Like,
but
I
man,
don't,
he knows.
I don't think there's like an Illuminati that shows up at your door and knocks and is like, would you like to join us and
that's
save
cool.
the world? And Alex was like, I'm not going to do it. And I just don't believe something like that would happen. Granted, I don't think it was that, you know, cartoonish. There may have been special interests who are like, hey, look, you know, play ball. I do know that Vice, for instance, had phone calls from the State Department about some of the stuff they were doing. And
well,
yeah.
But then, of course, look, you know, Joe, I think Obama and Biden had, they went to the Vice office. I don't know about Obama, but I think Biden did. And they interviewed Obama. So they were totally on board with the establishment agenda. You know what I mean? There it is.
Yeah, psychic energy is real.
We have not had anything like that. We have no, there are a lot of billionaires apparently heavily interested in Freedomistan. Because the idea, like me, like Luke was talking about it, we're talking about having like this place where we would just be like set up a small little spot where you can live, and it's like a freedom community or something. And apparently there's a bunch of like wealthy investors that were like, we want to be involved in that. And I'm like, but we don't need that kind of support. You know what I mean? We don't, maybe, you know, how about you buy the space next to where we're at and you can do your thing. And that'd be cool. And like, we'll do our thing.
Yeah. They probably got some agenda behind it too.
I don't necessarily think, I mean, maybe the agenda is freedom, you know, but we don't need, we don't want to create that kind of community. We want to create a community of someone who's going to like build a mud hut and then live in it and be like, I enjoy this. And we'll be like, that's cool. Like someone who works really, really hard and is totally self-sustainable and like homesteading from a hut they build themselves. Oh, that's great.
What's, you that, want, what's that YouTube channel, that dude that like builds
ancient technology or whatever?
Is that what it is?
Something yeah, like that. So good. Like a spoon.
I got to look it up.
Yeah, builds a freaking castle. Yeah.
All right, let's read a couple more here. Tecumseh says, Yuri Bezmenov was right. That's correct.
So I hear.
Siegfried says, in lighter news, Tim, thanks to you and another super chat for turning me on to Erefureta. Love it. Erefureta. It's an anime. It's really good. I should watch more of it. It's pretty cool. So if you guys want to check that out, there you go. And let's see what we got here. What
were you primitive doing? Technology. That's the primitive YouTube channel. Technology. He's fantastic.
There you go.
So cool.
All right. Let's see. G Money says, hello, Timoth. Huh. I left my job at B4 and MBB to start my own consulting firm to help small businesses thrive in the upcoming industrial revolution. Siebert Strategia.
Very cool.
Yeah, cool. All right, here we'll do one more. Matthew Vance says, Navy SEAL in his dress blues was shadowing Millie today, even sitting behind him while testifying. What was in the briefcase he was carrying? Why isn't the nuke football with the president? Why is it with the JCS? Great work.
Huh. That's a good question.
Interesting.
Well, my friends, thanks for hanging out. It's been a blast. Make sure you go to timcast.com, become a member. We're going to have a member segment coming up just around 11 or so p.m. tonight. You can subscribe to this channel, like this video, share the show with your friends. You can follow me personally at TimCast. You can follow the show at TimCastIRL. Do you guys want to shout anything out?
Yeah, you know, follow me on social media. On Twitter, it's Ventura Report. Instagram is Jorge Ventura TV. You could also subscribe to the Daily Caller YouTube, where our documentary on these cartels are going to release next week. So really excited for it because, it, like I said, we did a deep dive. We did more... We just went full on, like, try to give you guys as much footage. No local news even went, like, would step up to a cartel girl or anything. So we stepped up to them, filmed them, flew drones over them, did a full thing. So we're excited. So stay tuned for that. And also, you know, we're going to continue our border coverage. Obviously, we still have a crisis there, and we're going to give it as much attention as it is. So we'll be back in Texas. So
I'm Sagnik Basu. You can follow me on Twitter at Sagnik Basu, S-A-G-N-I-K-B-A-S-U. And like George said, just keep an eye out for the documentary. We put like a lot of work into it.
Our safety, you know, we ran into some cartel out there.
As a journalist, reporter, producer, whatever you want to call it, in DC, I've never had to experience like these kind of situations ever. So this was like a first for me. And
yeah, should be out next week.
Yeah. So there the stakes were high, and the product matches it. So. Cool.
Where's the documentary going live?
It's
going
to go live on the Daily Caller YouTube and all of our channels, but we're going to promote it everywhere. Like we'll have it out. It's going to be, I think it's going to be very informative because I think a lot of people don't know about what's going on over there.
Thanks for coming, man. Thanks for coming, dude. Thanks for bringing these too, because this is hit home. I want to remind people, like, this was on someone's arm or their ankle yesterday.
Last night. Yeah. In Roma. I mean, Roma, Texas.
Just shows like they're just commodities as of now.
Well, this is commodity number 4,186.
That's a lot of commodities.
Thanks again. Thanks for coming.
I'm continuously impressed with the work that these guys are doing. So I'm really, really looking forward to this documentary. It's true. It's 100% true. Your documentaries have been great, especially from the ones in California, talking to those parents and business owners and whatnot. You guys may follow me on Twitter at Sarah Patch Litz.
Don't forget to smash that like button on your way out and go over to timcast.com. We will see you there around 11 or so p.m. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.